welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo, who is all over The Sopranos, going to be phoning in a few. Also, we'll have Doug, Sergeet, says on his driver's license, our Indian intern's going to do his Hollywood happenings. Hobo Power playing today. It's been a while. Got a little prom update from Billy the Webmaster. Ozzy is pacing the halls, eager to get in and give his review of the Da Vinci Code. Ron Jeremy, Ted Nugent, saw the new rock and roll show yesterday. Enjoyed it. Prisoner Johnny Delinquent. What? Oh, he calls in. We have a prisoner calling in from state prison in Soledad. I don't know how they work that. I can't figure out. You know the problem? The problem is too much varies from state to state in this great country of ours. Like, you just take the age of consent. In Hawaii, it's like 14, and then in Maine, it's 18. Oh, really? Can't we just decide? And then it's also confusing if you're used to a state that has one thing. Right. For a long time, drinking, you know, it was like this. For a long time, you could drink over in Minnesota, you could drink at 18, but in New York, it was 21. And then at a certain point, someone went, look, let's just call it a number, decide on whatever the number is, and move forward with our lives. It's too confusing. Plus, people driving back and forth from state to state to buy a case of beer, and someone just went, well, let's just decide on a number. If it's 18 before you can enlist in the military, it shouldn't be 17 in Nevada and 43 in California. Let's just pick a goddamn number. Whatever makes sense. Age of consent, you know, when you can legally drive, when you can legally, and whoever argues with it, by the way. Prisons seem to have this. There's some prisons where they don't get TV and they don't get phone calls and they don't get conjugal visits, and then other ones, guys have those they have those fondue fountains where the chocolate just keeps going over and the prisoner's just dipping strawberries and Bing cherries into it and banging away on hookers and doing lines of blow off hookers. It seems to be all over the road. Can't we just agree on what we get to do and what we don't get to do and just go ahead and make it the guidelines for the country for just about everything?
Well, if the Democrats were in office, this is what they want.
Well,
this is what they want.
They
want the hookers and the blow. Yeah, I'm for it. Well, look, here's my point. We have a prisoner calling in, and he's going to tell us what it's like on the inside. All right, so where was we? Where were we going to go? I, Saturday, went to a charity fundraiser group thing for, I don't know, it's like Habitat for Humanity or Houses for the Homeless or something like that. I was had to MC it. Now, anyone who knows me knows how much I lament leaving the house for any reason other than reasons I would like to leave the house. That's how I am. If I have to be somewhere, I don't want to be there. That's the way it goes. I've distilled that. This is how I look at everything now. Used to be, well, where are you going? Are you going to Disneyland or are you going into a coal mine? And it used to be with me, well, if you're going into a coal mine, you don't want to leave the house. But if you're going to Disneyland, well, of course, then you want to leave the house. But for me, I've now broken it down to if I have to leave the house to be at Disneyland at this given time because somebody told me I need to be there 3 weeks ago at this given time, then I automatically don't want to be there. It's great. Carole, we're going to need you to get a deep tissue massage with a full release, and then we're going to just have you sit in a Lamborghini Gallardo and read Sports Illustrated. What day? Saturday at 7. I don't know. I don't think I can. Oh, Christ, I'll be there. And then I would. And then Saturday at 6 o'clock, it'd be like, honey, what's wrong? Oh, I got to go sit in the Lamborghini and read the Sports Illustrated and get the deep tissue massage with the full release.
Was this you in a black tie kind of thing or what?
Yeah, it's a black tie kind of thing, and they're raising money for whoever. And it's the, I hate to say it, but people that raise money for other people, while I believe their heart and wallet is in the right place, I realize I can have almost no tolerance for that kind of person. Herb Adelman. Head sales group, Cormier Chevrolet. I think it's a great thing with people. A lot of long handshakes, a lot of self-congratulatory kind of talk. They're doing a great thing. I just never trust them. They always seem like they want to get together with people of their ilk and eat and talk about what a great thing they're doing for other people. And then sort of long-winded speeches. And of
so course, you don't like the charitable.
I would prefer that people just send their money in a manila envelope and get on with their life. The part where they have the banquets and the dinners and the politicians speak, that all feels weird. Then Mayor Villaraigosa was there, who, you know, last, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday, I was citing him as an example of one of the politicians who, when he speaks, acts like he's speaking to a group of special needs 9-year-olds. You know, all politicians are condescending. You can't be a politician without being condescending. You know, just the act of walking around in shaking hands and going to a factory floor somewhere in Kentucky where they make Toyotas and shaking guys' hands and saying things like, you know what, I hear your concerns. I feel very strongly about the UAW as well. That is all just condescending BS. That guy would never be on that factory floor. He's not interested in your baby. He's not concerned about, you know, I have children too. I have a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I have, as a parent, I feel they go to a private school somewhere that your kids will never go to. They don't have real concerns about anything. So I don't trust any of them. But, yes, I was explaining that Villaraigosa, but all politicians, Bush does this as well. Villaraigosa especially, though, talks to, he's our mayor out here in Los Angeles, speaks to people as if they're sort of retarded school age people who are ESL folks, English as a second language. Like, not only do they not have a grasp on the language, they have a form of impairment. And they're 9 or 10 years old. Well, it was lovely to share the stage with him. He
he must have had like an opening joke or something.
There's a couple of things that are funny about Villaraigosa, and I imagine it is this way with all, just about all politicians, is he has a guy who brings him on. Because what they don't want is some guy like me screwing up his first name. Or not knowing his first name, which now as I think about it.
Antonio
Villaraigosa. Well, first off, I found that his last name was one of these hybrid things that was hyphenated, like his wife, part of his wife's name and then part of his name. Is this the guy
really?
We weren't running the country or running the city, I should say? Yeah, sad but true. I got into that later after he left. But point is he needs a guy to bring him up on stage because he doesn't want some half-cocked, half-drunk morning jock going, hey, this dude, I give him a 5. Yeah, that's all he wants. So they always have their lackeys bring him up on stage. The guy who brought him up on stage blew hot, piping hot smoke up Villaraigosa's ass for 40 minutes. It was comical. It was like, it reminded me of when you see that old footage of when Saddam Hussein was in power, and he'd just have all the politicians throughout the land assemble in a group, and he'd start taking guys out to have killed. He just, you're out. I'm cleansing this society of you. You're out. And people, at a certain point, voluntarily, just started standing up and yelling, praise Saddam! Praise Saddam! They just started screaming about praising Saddam, even when they weren't pointed to, because they figured, I'm just going to go ahead and cover myself here. It was kind of like that. This guy just blew hard. Oh, man amongst men, and a rock of Gibraltar, and a family man, and a God-fearing man. A man has done more for Los Angeles than all mayors put together. And at about minute number 12, it got really obnoxious and self-serving. But I just thought to myself, if you're Villaraigosa, isn't this uncomfortable for you? Like, it'd be one thing to have, you know, Dave Damashek crack a little joke, let everyone know I know you. Here's a guy I met. He's a great guy. He's a family man. Dave Damashek, you know, bring up something. But what if you were just sitting there and I was saying, Dave Damashek, is he more handsome than he is bright? It's hard to tell. He's easy on the eyes. He's easy on the ears. Sorry, ladies. He's spoken for. He is an American. He's a pioneer. He's a man who's dragged himself up from the mire. You know, he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He worked hard. He supported his family going through college. He has an honorary doctorate from USC. He started in this as a page at the Senate, and he's worked his way up to the top of the heap. Nobody loves this city, and no one has done more for this. After about 14 minutes of that.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but just get to the ridiculous part.
I know Dave didn't mind at all and appeared to be comfortable.
No, it was like he was home again, sitting around the breakfast table with Mo Damashek. Point is, he came up. He was fine. He did his thing. He was nice. I just thought how weird it would be to be sitting there and having this guy blowing hard for really a solid 8 minutes of just crazy congratulatory BS before I was brought up on stage. And then the next time I would tell the guy to reel it in or not use the guy. Then the mayor of Calabasas was also there.
Oh, your old friend.
A delight. Yes. I can't even remember that retard's name. The guy who said that Dana Reeves died of secondhand smoke. I don't know. I don't remember if Chris was a big smoker. I know after the accident, he took to smoking 3-4 packs a day from the chair. They'd have to squeeze his lips around a cigarette. Yeah, he didn't smoke. No, nobody in her life seemed to smoke. I don't know if it was Chris Reeves, the quad in the wheelchair that was a big smoker, or it was the 11-year-old son that did all the smoking. But she died of secondhand smoke because she used to be a cabaret singer in the 70s.
That's right. This mayor of Calabasas was on the show some time ago.
Right.
And you two argued. You butted heads because his big thing is no smoking anywhere in the city of Calabasas, right?
Right.
Isn't that now the law that you can't smoke anywhere
right.
in the city?
And he cited Dana Reeves, right. who just died of lung cancer, you know, 2 weeks earlier at age 41 or 42, is the latest victim of secondhand smoke, even though it used to be that somebody in your family had to smoke in order for you to die of secondhand smoke. It was crazy. We've now expanded it to you running through airport bars and things like that.
That's exactly right. The new have you seen the commercial with the woman in the bar and she inhales it and it shows the effects of it? It makes it look as though if you're in a bar for 3 minutes one time in your life, you're going to suffer secondhand smoke and die of cancer.
Yeah, the new science is you don't have to know anyone who smokes or even be exposed to smoke to die of secondhand smoke. You could just now die of it. Just like you could die of AIDS if you never had sex, never had a blood transfusion, never left your house. You could just die of it because it exists now. Retard. Barry Groveman was there. Very lovely seeing his fat puss out in the audience.
Did you guys have an interaction of any kind? Because
the interaction was me shooting him the stink eye and him shooting me the stink eye.
Because I remember listening to this at home before I worked here, and he was just, you basically disemboweled the guy. He had nothing.
Well, I'll tell you the reason he had nothing. If I was trying to argue that somebody died of something that they didn't die of, and I had absolutely no science to substantiate my claims, and I would be gutted as well. It's not that I'm a. It's like arguing. It's like your team beats another team 43-3, and then you argue over who has a better defensive line. He has nothing. He had nothing. He's just a stupid enough man to go ahead and pick pseudoscience and argue for it. It's not that these guys aren't good at debating. It's that they take such a retarded stance in the beginning that it's like OJ trying to explain why he's not guilty. You know, they have such a retarded stance that there's no way they can substantiate it. Now, the part that's lame about it is that guys in a position of power would pick retarded stances to make arguments over. That's the scary part. But anyway, his fat puss was out in the audience, and that was comfortable.
I'm concerned. I hope you can't die of secondhand stink eye.
Yes, I would have liked it. Oh. Is he still in power over there in Calabasas, if in fact it is in power?
As far as I know. And by the way, his whole thing was, he conceded when we challenged him on it, he conceded that the reason he's doing this is because smoking is bad for you.
Right.
Forget secondhand smoke. He wants to break everyone of the habit of smoking as though that it's within his right to do that, to tell people what they can't do.
Well, he's doing the Lord's work. All right. Listen. I don't know why I'm on this jag. I know it's easy, but politicians more and more are disturbing me. Saw Ray Nagin getting reelected over New Orleans.
Guess who's on the jerk report? The city of New Orleans.
Really?
How could
you
load he
How
is.
Could he get reelected? That is outrageous.
It's great too when your city goes to crap because your average citizen can't afford C cell batteries, and all you do is point at the White House a couple thousand miles away and go, "Look what you guys did. Look what you did." His city's a corrupt flop house. It's essentially a one huge dumpster, and all him and the governor of that horrible city that basically, sure, the levees broke. I'm not sure where the levees were. Where were the levees? In D.C. or in California? The levees in his city, his governor and his mayor destroyed the city, and then nobody had as much as a goddamn SUV that had three decent tires on it to get out of town, and all he can do is point at the man and then start talking about God telling him to keep it chocolatey.
Yeah, on Martin Luther King Day he came out.
Yeah,
with that
wanted to keep New Orleans chocolate, and then later on did this sort of quasi-retarded half apology. How do you make milk chocolate? How do you make it? Well, you take some dark black cocoa and you mix in some nice white and you sprinkle some Mexicans over the frothy top. Shut up. It's more condescending when you now try to backtrack. You had a group of black people in front of you and you wanted to say something. Here's the problem. It used to be when you made a speech 100 years ago, you were only talking to the people that were in the room. If I was talking to a whole group of Klansmen, I'd probably be yelling white power just because they'd be cheering and it'd be great. If I was talking to a whole group of black people, I'd like, kill Whitey, and they'd all be cheering. The problem is there's 10 cameras from CNN that are in the back of the room now, and they're piping these images into North America and beyond, and now we see you talking to the group of brothers yelling black power. Unfortunately, we're not that, and we're sitting at our homes watching you.
This is the equivalent of I mean, this is as bad in my book as D.C. electing Marion Barry. This is crazy.
Really?
It's the same as Jesse Helms. You know, well, you know, all things being, I mean, it's the same reason why Jesse Helms stayed in power forever, which was he is a bad guy. Well, but at least he's white.
Right.
It's the same logic as Ray Nagin. Well, he's obviously an imbecile and probably crazy, but he is black.
Right. Yeah, right. There's nice footage of him over at the local all-black church doing the hand clapping and the gospel and looking up toward the heavens.
It's outrageous! I'm not saying the federal government, listen, culpable, yes,
sure.
But the mayor.
Well, look, he's a God-fearing man, and God basically flooded your city. So you do the math. Maybe this isn't the guy we want on the tip of the spear for us, huh? If this is the guy who's basically our mouthpiece to the man upstairs, and our man upstairs just put 20 feet of water on top of the city, perhaps he's not the guy. Maybe it's time to get an atheist in there.
God doesn't give you more than you can handle, Adam.
Right.
What doesn't kill you makes you wish you were dead.
That's right. Teresa Strasser, and Teresa, we got to take a break, unfortunately, but I hear you're nominated for two journalism awards.
Yes, if you could do 11 or 12 minutes on Mike Glory, that would be great.
All right. Eight of those will be commercial.
Okay, that's fine.
But then when we come back, we'll have 2-3 minutes left to finish up.
Fair enough.
All right, we'll take a break. Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo, all over The Sopranos.
Came out of the closet last night, literally.
Yeah.
Ironic.
It was.
It's funny, I didn't get any symbolism at all in that talking about Sopranos last night, but I'm sure it just flew over my head.
Yeah, came out of the closet, ironically, to kill Gay Vito.
Yes. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla Show, boy. This is the Drunk Tree mascot. What do you want me to read this? The Adam Carolla Show, you're listening to it, and you can give him a call at 866-901-ADAM. I think I'm going to puke.
A million opinions and only one eyebrow. The Adam Carolla Show.
I won't back in. Can I sit? No, you can't sit. I'm not a fag. I never was. I could probably get a letter from my doctor.
A note from your doctor saying you don't like to suck.
I got $200K that goes directly to you personally. Please, Don't turn your back on me.
John's Folding Laundry in f***ing Danbury. Now, I made a decision, and with all due respect, it's final.
You gotta pick your battles. You want your no-show jobs, Vito's gotta go.
You're a f***ing disgrace.
As I said before we went to break, I'm ashamed that I didn't even get the symbolism of Frank Vincent stepping out of the closet when Gabe Vito was getting beaten up in the motel. The other thing I keep thinking about and forgetting to bring up over the air, Frank's on the phone, punch him up in 10 seconds, is one of the best scenes, I don't even know if it was a scene, one of the best moments for The Sopranos this season flew under everyone's radar. At a certain point, I guess it was about six episodes ago before Gay Vito came out of the closet or was busted over at the gay bar wearing his ridiculous outfit. He was just sitting on the sofa while Tony was in the hospital and they were just noshing over the Sopranos house. He was just watching some TV, eating a little deli plate, peeked over his shoulder at a certain point, let a little gas fly right there on the sofa. And I thought, yes, this is how it works with Breaking Wind. So oftentimes in movies, you have two choices. Either there's no breakage of the wind, or there's breakage of the wind that moves along a story. They're in an elevator, the guy's on the first date, he's nervous, he ate some seafood, whatever. This is just everyday pedestrian farting, the way it goes down. You're at somebody's house, you're eating, you're on their sofa, the TV's up loud enough so you can let something go. Also, there's enough traffic in the room so that it can't be pinned to you. You take a little peek over your shoulder and just do just the left cheek lift. Little audible, but nothing that the TV couldn't drown out. Thank you very much.
More of the gritty realism that The Sopranos is known for.
I'll tell you, when they're inducted into the Radio and Television Hall of Fame, it is that scene that I will show. And when I induct them, that's what I will cite. Frank Vincent?
You're out of your mind.
Thanks, but you know I'm right, right?
Absolutely, that's hysterical.
Frank was all over last night's episode.
You want to shoot some pool or what?
Oh. Yeah, great episode last night. Yeah. Felt like The Sopranos was you know, almost taking a turn for the surreal over the last few episodes, and they really got back on track with the killing and the bludgeoning and the beating and the stabbing and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And now we got a war on our hands all over Gay Vito.
Well, things are going to be happening some more. We have a finale to do yet, and it's going to be fun.
And it's you know, it's good. The good thing is Johnny Sacks in the joint, and they basically need you. You can't go anywhere. I mean, they might kill you in the very last episode of The Sopranos ever, but they can't really get rid of you at the beginning of the next season or at the end of this season, because who's he going to go to war with?
That's right. There's no antagonist.
Right. Nice.
Did you like coming out of the closet? Did you get the...
You know, it was funny. Dave Damashek from our number one sports report, at least that's what we're calling it, he pointed that out to us.
Why, Diggs? What did I do? I didn't do anything.
I'm just saying it's we don't know clinically or mathematically if it is in fact number one. We like to think it's number one. We're just calling it number one.
Leotardo's not impressed with your Diggs.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
Yes, I didn't even get the symbolism of it. I was just happy to see you in the room, and now I realize, yes, Dave pointed that out to me.
Otherwise, he could have been standing there when he came in or anything. You know?
Right. I did get the symbolism of the train blasting into the tunnel just after Gay Vito rolled over for Johnny Cakes the episode before, though.
Right.
So we have a repeat this weekend. We do the three-peat this weekend, right? Or next week. And then the last episode.
And the finale, yes.
Ooh, what can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, Adam, I really can't tell you anything because it's just going to be so great, and there's so much happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they really pack it in. They really pack a lot of stuff into an episode.
Yeah,
it's the season. I didn't mean that way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
the season is going to be. It's going to be the last one's going to be great.
Well, you know what? It almost seems like the first few episodes, they were almost meandering a little bit, like sort of, well, we'll take our time. It's sort of that thing like when you're working on a paper that needs to be due or project needs to be done. You kind of meander for the first couple hours, and then the last half hour, it's just rush hour.
I tell everybody about this show. This show's been on six seasons. You got to think about it in 12 episodes, 13 episodes of show. It's 13 hours roughly. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about 70 hours of these are movies. These are not. Right. No, these are not weekly shows. These are movies. It's talking 70 hours. I mean, how much can you think of?
Yeah.
To write.
No, but they're really in double time mode now, the last few episodes. Especially, it felt like last night's episode. They were, and it didn't feel rushed because they would keep going back and forth to, where she was in France.
Right, and AJ. And all
that stuff. But it was really kind of double-timey kind of stuff. Like, they're trying to dot some I's and cross some T's and take care of some business.
Well, this is the best director. This is Timmy.
Van Patten, right?
Van Patten, I noticed.
He directed, this is his third one.
He's not a Van Patten, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All the kids are in show business, Dick Van Patten's kids.
Yeah, he's great. And he's got the sense of the show. He really feels it.
Yeah, well, he did a great job last night. It was palpable. It felt different. It felt good.
They went to Paris. They all went to Paris, for real.
Yeah, I noticed. First, I thought they were just grabbing a little B-roll from a cab window, and then oh, no. And then I was distracted because I was jealous of the actress who got to go there and hang out.
Oh, yeah, Angela.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, you know, back to the Van Pattens, you know, they're blonde tennis players from Sherman Oaks, and their dad's Vince Van Patten. So no one knows what goes on the inside of New York Mafia, like the blonde, good-looking professional tennis players from Sherman Oaks.
Timmy's bald. He's had his shave.
Oh, good.
And
good.
He wears a baseball hat.
Good. He used to be a good-looking blonde guy who played. I think all of Van Patten's kids were like, professional tennis players something.
Exactly.
Oh, when I see Van Patten, it makes me hate my dad. Really does. All right, so let me give you a nice big fat plug. And and let me ask this, too. The new season then begins after the first of the year?
January 07 is what the scheduled date of the new season to start.
Uh-huh, and there'll be eight episodes.
Eight shows. We start shooting roughly at the end of June.
And there's no way right at the end of, right before this episode in 2 weeks, you're just going to say, psych, we're not doing the last eight. This is the last one ever.
They're doing it anymore.
How about, I know this has been brought up by quite a few people, but how about a feature?
I don't know. I don't know what David's has on his mind. I don't know what Jimmy has on his mind. You know, they've been doing this for a long time, and me, 10 features.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And 10 more seasons.
Phil, Frank Vincent, we know him as Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos, Sunday nights, 6 o'clock, HBO, frankvincent.com. You go there, you get your shine box mug, T-shirt.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
And condoms. This Thing of Ours, starring Frank Vincent, James Caan, and Vincent Pastor, also available on DVD. Yes. Frank, thank you very much, as usual.
The book, Adam.
Ah, yes, the guy's guide.
Being a man's man.
That's what I was going to say. Frank Vincent, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Love you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Frank Vincent, great episode last night. All right, Teresa.
Yes.
We had left off talking about the awards.
Right.
That you'd received.
Yes. LA Press Club nominations.
Nominations. Two of them.
Yes. One, actually, I won last year, oddly enough, for a piece about my stepfather. Mm-hmm. Both my step-parents died last year. One was a horrible, atrocious woman, and one was just like a father. Mm-hmm. So last year I won for a piece about my stepfather, or this year I was nominated for a piece called My Evil Stepmother Dies.
So you're...
That's the name of the piece.
All right, so let me get this straight. You had bad step-parents.
Yeah, horrible stepmother and great stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I broke even last year when they both died.
Yeah, it's a push, yeah.
It was a push. My stepfather, I wrote the piece about planning his funeral in Vegas, which was very surreal because, as you know, I am a Jew. My stepfather was black, and so I had to plan his funeral,
wow,
and it was very
really
complicated.
Getting somewhere now.
Well, they have very different funeral culture.
The Jews and the brothers, yes.
And I didn't want to make a faux pas. because there was hundreds of black people that were my stepfather's, you know, friends and loved ones.
Faux pas was his father's name, by the way. De right. faux pas.
Well, so
the apostrophe faux pas.
Right. So I wrote about that, which was
the Brickishaw faux pas.
In African American culture, when my stepfather in particular, he was very, very private, and even though it was clear he was on death's door, he didn't say anything about his funeral except, I want to have a top shelf liquor. So there I was in Vegas at the what's that store you and Jimmy love? The Costco.
Costco, yes.
I was at Costco with a shopping cart filled with Jameson's and
Crown Royal.
Sure. Thank you.
My stepdad wants to be buried at Crown Royal sack.
Really?
Yes.
Can they do that?
If we cremate him, I told him. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough fit.
That's right. He did specifically say, "Can you know, Crown Royal, all the good stuff." So I was, you know, I had a cart. It was like leaving Las Vegas, like the cart full of liquor.
Yeah. Sure, of course. When you're throwing parties while you're alive, it's just a bunch of Smirnoff and cheap Kamchatka and that kind of stuff. But of course, when you die, sure, break out the good stuff.
Yeah.
Go to the top shelf. Sure, we're drinking pop off out of a plastic bottle with a squeeze top on it when he's alive. But when he's in the ground, go get the good stuff. Get the Grey Goose.
True. Yeah.
Brian, go ahead.
Dead man's party. Thank you.
So I had to plan that because my mother was distraught, and I had never even been to a funeral, and it was about 110 degrees, and I was having to pick out his plot. In the downtown Vegas. It was very trying.
I went to, I don't want to step on your...
Please.
I don't know if steal your thunder, but I went to Jimmy's grandfather's funeral in Vegas. And there just should be a funeral season in Vegas. And it should not go past the middle of May, and it shouldn't start up again until they're into November, because 120 degrees. First off, you can do about any attire you want at about any event you want, except for a funeral. You must don the jacket,
right.
And you can't look like Don Johnson. You can't be wearing a turquoise jacket with the sleeves pulled up, an open shirt, and just your wafer thin Italian loafers with no socks.
Yeah. Particularly a shame for you, since that's 90%.
My look. You got to wear the black tie and the black suit and the black whatever, and you're just, I swear to God, Jimmy's grandfather died somewhere in the middle of August.
This is when my funeral was.
I'd stayed up until about 7:30, 8 in the morning, and met a little stripper over at the club.
Sure.
The story's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
It's a solemn occasion.
Did not get any sex, but got back to the room at 8:30 in the morning. Essentially slept for 18 minutes. No, slept for 15 minutes because a couple of guys I met on a Southwest flight looked me up and called me in the room at 8:45 up from the night one to know if I'm going to go out and party. I slept for about 40 minutes, got into my suit, and just sweat colada.
Yes.
That's all I did, was just stand there and just sweat profusely the booze I drank the night before.
Yes.
But, so anyway, yes, Vegas, no place. No place for a funeral.
If you're going to die, do it in winter. But unfortunately,
right.
I had no control of that.
Also, I would argue that from an architecture standpoint, going to a church with the stucco with the glitters in it and the aluminum sliding windows, I don't know. Just give me the 300-year-old church that's in New England. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
people wearing suits and the pyre burning and everything and the vicar in the front. Not some guy wearing, you know, cut off sleeves on his frock, sitting in some bad 70s architecture with some AstroTurf inside the thing. It feels plastic and contrived. Doesn't feel like a good place to die, does it?
No.
There's nothing about it. It just feels manufactured.
Yes. Well, this year, the piece for which I'm nominated for an LA Press Club Award is about my stepmother, who, when she died, I didn't plan the funeral, I didn't go to the funeral, and I was euphoric.
What is this acceptance speech going to be like, though, should you win?
I won't
win. Thank you, stepmother, for being evil.
Well, I won't win, because it's not a feel-good piece. But I was happy just to be nominated, and I'm still happy she's dead.
And good, by the way. Look, if people were bad people and they're dead, look, everyone focuses on, you know, Manuel Noriega or people of that
ilk.
Faux pas, terrorists and things. Hey, it's a good thing with Hitler. It's a good thing these guys are gone. But look, bad people are bad people. Maybe they didn't have the maybe they didn't have the access to weapons of mass destruction, or they didn't have an army. Their battlefield was your living room, and you were their only victim.
That's right.
Either way, they're dead. Good.
Did you see 60 Minutes last night? Mike Wallace is nearly dead, so we can talk about that. At least he retired.
That's
the entire hour was devoted to just what a grade A jerk he is.
Yes.
It was everything was like, well, I mean, it was basically an hour's worth of, well, Mike's Mike.
Yeah.
That's really what it was. Mike likes to work and he likes to argue. What else can you say about him?
What I'm very fascinated about the black stepfather,
yes,
and the him being the good one,
yeah,
and then the evil stepmom.
He raised me with he was like a dad.
Hold on a second. Murray?
Yeah.
Are you a step parent?
No.
No, that's good. And did you have step parents?
No, I see. It would seem like I would need one, yes, why I'm in here.
Mm-hmm. Your mother and your father thought he was Napoleon.
Yeah, he was trying to centralize himself.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy for you,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, and your mother was Woody Woodpecker's sister?
Just a home bun.
Ah, okay. Where are you from originally?
Crazy here.
You're from Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Really? What high school did you go to?
LAI.
Hmm.
Oh.
Adam, this is not, we know him as Murray, but this is F. Murray Abraham.
Oh, really? Right. Fine actor.
Yes, the Oscar winner.
I'll F him.
Hey, Murray.
Yeah.
What are you doing today? What's on tap?
Well, I just have to slide out of history.
Oh, okay. Done and done.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I see, but what about the blame for it? The system of who, what together.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As to whether there's a nuclear family.
Amadeus?
I don't get it.
Oh,
oh man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was in Amadeus?
Right.
Being a middle-class Mac.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Sliding back into history.
Where were you there, Murray? Yeah, we didn't mean to offend you. All right, do you live alone?
Yeah, as to not getting the great, where the Palooza was a defamation.
All right.
Oh, okay, so I'm rambling here, waiting for you to underline it. Do I have anything to do about this?
Adam. How about we give you a $50 worth of Hooters gift certificate?
Yeah, my life is going down the drain on blame.
Uh-huh. Have you, here's what I do. Here's what I think. I think we can get $100 from Hooters not to give Murray the $50 to Hooters. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it sounds like, how it works. Markov.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I want one of those jobs. You know, I've been thinking about, I had that idea for my negative product placement a few weeks back, which is instead of getting money from Coke and Pepsi to have your product placed in the next big budget Hollywood extravaganza, I extort money from Coke and Pepsi to give me money not to put their product in my horrible, distasteful movies. And that's a better life. For me, I would like to get money from businesses. Like, I would stand out front of Hooters or stand out front of The Gap, and I would say, look, unless you give me $40 an hour, I will recruit every crazy MF-er on the street to go into your store. I'll just say free shorts or whatever. Next thing you know, the place will be filled with guys trying on cargo pants that are covered in fleas. It'll be great.
That's a great idea, isn't it, Murray?
Thank you. Write that down. Murray, what do you think?
Well, I think that's how the economy is so choked up here. And
see, great minds.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Same page.
All right. Crazy for you. Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Hobo Power. Yes.
Speaking of bumps.
Also, Ozzy saw the Da Vinci Code. We have our 17-year-old computer webmaster. Prom recap. Do you think he got any tongue?
Mm-mm.
Bruskett says
he looks unhappy.
Oh, really?
I don't know. A little pouty.
He's not glowing, that's for sure.
You got to figure he'd have like Katrina and the Waves playing behind him if he grabbed a little sweater boob, right? I mean, he'd be coming in here, feet up high, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He suddenly started wearing an ascot.
Yeah. And spats.
Yeah. All right. We're going to play a spirited round of hobo power. When
your
we
stink
thank
stories.
You. When we come back, yes. Your greatest stories of stink, I will give them a rating. You tell them to me, I'll assign them a hobo power number. Get them loaded. We're coming back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. There's a lot more coming up, so stay here.
Jimmy Kimmel.
There's some talk, I'm not going to say who mentioned this to me, but it was Dave. Apparently you've been occupied with maybe another talk show host.
I may have seen Leno over the weekend. I travel with all, I see a lot
our
of celebrities. Hold on a second.
Our weekend.
You smell like cue cards.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
Hobo power is a unit of stink measurement. You tell me the story, I'll assign a number.
We got mad at a neighbor down the street, and we filled up a jar full of dead mice and let it sit in the sun. In Kentucky, for about 100 degrees out for a week or 10 days, and then busted on his front porch.
It's creative, but I'm still only going to give it a 53.
Four college kids from Canada were flying back from Seattle. Both planes went directly into a granite wall. We found them after 27 hours of them sitting there burning.
Smoldering college kid flesh. That's tough. Should find out what month this took place.
Summer.
You just got yourself 15 points, my friend. 73. Solid. Hobo power. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. You call in. Again, they have measurements. They have BTUs, British thermal units. They have watts, kilowatts, and grams. They have decibels. They measure everything but stink. You'd be amazed. All you gotta... Then you go out into the ocean, and they measure everything in knots, nautical miles. I don't know why they need that out there. You know, and then by the way, when you're in an airplane, why airplane with the knots too? You ever do that? Air traffic controller guy, the wind's coming out of southwest, 7 knots. We're current. Just give us the miles per hour. Stop showing off. Just because we're over the ocean doesn't mean we have to talk like we're in it.
Jerks making us feel bad about ourselves because we don't know.
Well, I know the difference between a knot and a mile per hour, but most folks don't, I realize. I feel sorry for the serfs, as I call them. All right, T.
Yes.
I did not get to the bottom of your horrible step-parents. You have the black father.
He was great.
Stepfather.
I loved him very much, yes. And my stepmother was... you know, like you said, she was my own personal Pol Pot.
She was evil.
She was evil. And when she died last year, it was very confusing because people don't really talk about, you know, sometimes you're happy when a person dies. And I didn't really know how to behave.
Why? What did she do? What was the worst thing she did to you?
Oh, I mean, you know the great Santini, Robert Duvall? Picture that in a denim wrap skirt, and that was her.
Wow.
Yes. She was that evil.
Stonewash? Is it that bad?
It was.
Or just regular denim?
Stonewash.
Oh, man.
And a kerchief.
Oh. And did she have a daughter of her own? Did she have any biological kids?
Yeah, she had 3 kids.
Always worse when they love their own much more clearly than they're into you, right?
Well, and when I would stay over there, I just was there 1 weekend a month, and I would stay like in the utility closet with the dog. I didn't have a room.
Mom, I'm coming home. Wow.
See, first of all, this is a little thing. Well, first of all, the great Santini, Pat Conroy, wrote that, and he's later said that he had to actually leave things out because you wouldn't believe that anybody was that evil. The truth was so horrible. And that's kind of true of my step monster. She told me not to wear a seatbelt because seatbelts didn't work.
Wow.
And they weren't good.
Yeah.
She told me I was adopted once when no one was around.
Wow.
She only referred to me in the third person. As in, Teresa is looking a little chubby.
And is it... Well, here's the problem. Women aren't huge fans of each other. There's not many teenage girls that get along with their biological moms. And then, I think there's a form of competition that somehow arises.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy who had 2 step-parents as well.
Were they good?
Thank goodness they were just indifferent. I mean,
you'd settle for that.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think either one of them wanted to spend the time or burn the calories it would have taken to physically assault me or punish me or rape me. They were just sort of neither here nor there.
They didn't even want to rape you.
Well, I think they took cues from my own family. they must have been confused when their own family just seemed sort of, again, I just sort of describe the family as, they're, our, the kids, me and my sister, were sort of like a team that wasn't yours. You know, you didn't care right. for them one way or the other. They weren't, you know, it's not like you were USC and they were UCLA. It was like my dad was USC and I was playing over at Fresno or something on the volleyball team. Not a competition. Not worried about it.
And the step parents just followed suit, basically, yeah. in your case.
Yeah, they just hung out. They weren't really bad. They weren't really good. But my stepmom and my sister weren't exactly thick as thieves. And it really... I thought that's what it is. My stepdad and I didn't really have a problem. He didn't really talk much. It was okay. He was fine. But my sister, my stepmom, especially when the sisters are like 14, 15, you know, the girls, they just don't get along.
Well, it's difficult to be a step-parent.
Yes.
It's difficult to do well.
Yeah, what's in it for you? I mean, if you think about parenting, really, you know, the kid's in and out of rehab or is getting bad grades or getting letters sent home from the school, whatever. There's usually, here's the problem. When a kid comes from a family that's broken, as they say, the kid usually acts out at some point. When they start acting out is in their teen years normally. Now you have a step parent who's been on the scene for 2 years and has a 14-year-old teenager who's not their own, who's acting out. Now there's nothing right. worse than a teenager who's acting out. And when you're the step parent, sure, you have the title dad or mom in your title, but really this is a kid you've known for 20 months and all you know is the kid put an M80 up the neighbor's cat's A over there. And what the hell? You want to beat him just as bad as the neighbor did.
Now, my stepmother came on the scene when I was 3. So I was probably, how bad could I have been?
Right.
You know, maybe I pooped myself or whatever 3-year-olds do.
Sure.
But otherwise, I was probably pretty harmless.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
Just had it in for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now the good news is she's gone.
And occasionally, even though it's been almost a year, out of nowhere, I'll just have a happy feeling. I'll just be like, still dead. Yes.
Good. Now, what do you think of your biological dad for marrying this monster and never intervening on your behalf?
Well, I'm very close to my dad, which is weird.
You should punish him.
We talk every day. You know, at around in my 20s, I sort of had that realization that he's not perfect. He did what he could. He was a little bit pee-whipped. Didn't want to be alone.
And was she hot?
No.
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 You don't look when all you have to do as a guy is she doesn't have to be hot. You have to not have much going on your own self. Just have any woman who'll take you.
Yes.
And the pee whip, you don't have to be hot. You just have to possess a pee.
Right.
I see.
And she was, my dad was distraught. You know, my mom left him and he had 2 kids. He had custody of us and he was confused. Mm-hmm. And we always had like chicken pox and lice and he worked 6 days a week. So he was just happy to
lice.
Have somebody. Yeah. You know, kids get lice.
Yeah.
He was a dad. You know, he didn't really know to.
All right. Very
watch
sad.
You.
Yeah, I'm just saying. At least they got there. At least your stepmom got there early. My stepparents got there relatively late. Now, who the hell would want to inherit that baggage? Not to mention just my parents. They not only did they have their horrible kids, they had my parents
right.
to deal with. It's not like my dad was a rich guy and never stopped doing work on the house, and then he had these screwed up kids. Quite the opposite. Yeah, essentially had 3 kids to take care of at this point. All right, let's see. Bum, an old diaper, meat and freezer went bad, sewer pipe, bad pork, bum and train. I'm intrigued. Ralph?
Yeah, how you doing, H-Man?
What's happening? You got a hobo power story for us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was working. I'm living in Vegas now. I was working in Manhattan. I was commuting from Brooklyn into Manhattan. And when we got into Manhattan...
From Brooklyn. Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Hey, Rich, right? So we're sitting on the platform. And, you know, as the train platforms, you're kind of looking in to see if you can find yourself a seat. You know, normally you're not gonna. So all of a sudden, I see one car that has nobody in it. So everybody else is looking at it. The door's open. We all pile in, and then the door's shut behind us. And needless to say, as soon as I get my first breath, here's a guy laid out on a subway bench, and he is just totally defecated all over himself. He has gangrene of the feet because it's cold out. Mm. Now, mind you, this one subway car was about 90 degrees, this particular car. Mm. The heat was just cranking on it because nobody was in it except him. But we all piled in together, And then as soon as you could take the first breath, you were just ready to throw up.
Was he, deceased?
He was just, I mean, his legs were all green, and he just shot his drawers. I mean, there was a cow pie between his crotch there, mm-hmm. and flies actually beating on it and all
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But to make a long story short, we could not get off that car. Now, we pull up to the next platform.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else is doing the same thing, but we're all sitting next to the door trying to squeeze our nose outside of the, mm-hmm. the door, just a little bit of crack to get some air. Because between the heat and the stench, mm-hmm. I mean, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
All right. I've heard enough. But he was deceased or not deceased?
He was not deceased.
Not deceased.
Half of his torso was deceased.
Okay.
Because it was green.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Festering.
It was winter time, although it was warm in the subway car. The subway car was empty. You didn't have to physically work on him. I feel sorry for the nurses, for the technicians, the people have to peel the pants off and clean these guys up and do catheters and things like that. I'm going to give it a 44.
Let me just say this. First of all, thanks to Phil Leotardo for calling back. Secondly, there's a cornucopia of smells, though, that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
There's
mm-hmm.
poop and gangrene,
mm-hmm.
you know, cultivated by the heat. I think...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe undersell this one, given
mm-hmm.
that there are a number of stinks.
He did not have to come in contact with, move, or do anything therapeutic to the body.
Mm.
That's and he could go on the other side of the subway car. Don't argue with me. I give it a 44. You want a 43? You want to keep going? I'll make it a 42. You want to keep going?
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
I can play this game, too.
Play it all day.
I like when people announce that. Fernando?
Yes, sir.
What do you got for me in the hobo power department?
I work security in a hospital. They brought in this homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 100 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
He has one leg filled with sores.
Mm-hmm.
This guy reeks. They mm-hmm. end up taking his clothes off, and he has this diaper that's stuck to him
mm-hmm.
with crap and I don't know what all.
Mm-hmm.
And I work security, so I have to stay within 10 feet of this guy because this guy's just going nuts.
All right. Painful, but again, you're the guy who has to stay within 10 feet, not the guy who's peeling off the diaper and getting out the handy wipes and the talcum. Do you know what I'm saying? For that man, he's well into the 60s and 70s. For you, again, this is a mid-40s like procedure over here. I'll give it a 45. We'll inch it up. Bad pork. Someone disagrees with my 44 given to Ralph. Yes, Darren?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's happening?
You're doing it again.
What am I doing?
Anything over 30 is mandatory yakking.
You have to yak. You're right.
Yeah,
I can't remember my own rules. Again, a 50 is a cat that's been fed an exclusive diet of blue cheese defecating on a white-hot hibachi and the plume of smoke that rises from it. 100 is theoretical. No man has ever smelled it. If he has, he died. And you can't get over 30 without yakking. I know, I'm thinking of revisiting that policy a little bit because some people have such a strong constitution. You know, the guys, I've been with guys who drank a pony keg of beer and then had 20 shots of Jaeger and never ended up yakking. And then there are folks that had a couple of glasses of white wine and ended up yakking. And some people are hair trigger in the yak department and other people, you just can't get them to do it. Yakking is like crying. There's some people just start weeping over nothing, just a bad greeting card or something. Others, Rock of Gibraltar. Yeah.
It's a good point.
But I agree with you calling me out, Darren.
Well, you got to do it.
It takes a big man to agree with Darren when he calls him out.
Yeah, I was just thinking that about you.
Yes, one more. Let's see. Sewer pipe, bad pork, meat and freezer, cycle accident, brain stew.
Ooh.
Okay. Sean?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What do you do? Good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, a couple years ago, I worked wildland fire up on the northern side of the Sierras,
mm-hmm.
Eastern Sierras up there. It was about mid-August, I'd say. We were up doing some saw work, some project work up in the hills, and
uh-huh.
we just finished some lunch. Got a call, and down the road we went for a vehicle accident. When we got down the road, it was two motorcycles, two brand-new BMWs that were going down the road. The first guy turned around, figured out they were going the wrong way. His buddy came up behind him and teabagged him on the side.
Wow.
Well, when you hit him...
Gay sex right on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm. Did you mean T-bone?
T-bone, yes.
Okay.
T-bone sounds gayer than teabagged, although teabagged. trumps them all. But yes, what happened?
So anyways, they hit the ground. Captain came out. We rolled out, and he sent myself and another rookie over to one of the other victims. And when we got over to him, we had to do like a little sternum rub on him to check his reflexes. And as soon as we went to him, one of the other buddies, he went to the visor, lifted the visor as I'm doing the sternum rub on his chest. He did the hand to mouth, gag, spew, spit, spray. And so I looked and wasn't, you know, in shock, and I looked over, and when I looked out, he already had like a creamy corn chowder like inside the helmet, like something probably popped inside of his head.
Ooh.
Well, when I got over to him and I looked at him, the other rookie, he was spewing. I started just doing like a dry heave. Well, the stuff was already on the ground in mid-August. I don't know if you've been on the eastern side of the Sears up there. It's every
sure.
day.
Sure. I got a place out there, sure.
Yeah, 104 down there.
All right, so let me get this straight. These two bikers are by the side of the road, T-boning each other. You come up, give one of them a sternum rub, and some white creamy stuff comes out of this guy's mouth. I just feel like this is a story for another day.
Homo power.
Yes, homo power. He yacked, or at least dry heaved.
Yes, points for that.
Yeah, gets points at least a minimal 30. Outdoors, fresh accident. Yeah, I'll give you 53.
All right, that's
53.
Fair.
Sean, are you in the Job Corps or something like that? What are you doing?
No, I no longer do that no more. I work in the chemical industry.
All right, but what happened? Any guys that fight forest fires, these are all our prisoners, all the troublemakers. This is what we do with them.
It's not
the best and the brightest. We give a shovel and tell them to run toward the flame.
No, I worked on an engine crew and hot shots and helicopters.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Because I found that most of the guys who say they're in Job Corps, here's how Job Corps works, and putting out the fires and digging the fire lines and all that. You have your choice between going to juvenile hall or putting on a khaki shirt, getting a pickaxe, and heading out into the woods and fighting the fires. It's smart. You know, we used to have the prisoners build the roads. Now we have them put out the fires. We've done the expendable math. There's no cures for cancer floating around out here anywhere, just a bunch of at-risk youths. If the wind changes and a little backdraft gets them, well, so be it. All right, we need to take a break. Teresa?
Yes, on the news coming up, a very surreal brawl broke out in Manhattan. Axl Rose and someone in the fashion industry, I will get to that, fists were flying, and the Da Vinci Code, crucified by reviewers, but how did it do at the box office?
All right.
I got a news story, too. It's hot in this studio, but out there it's clearly icy cold. If you just want to take a look at your assistant, Lindsay, Adam, I think that will tell the tale that you...
Can't see her from here.
Lindsay, show yourself.
Bobby.
All right. Please.
Look
it's
at
like,
us.
Wow. Perky. She's like my kid sister. Come on. We'll take a quick best lay I ever had, by the way. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. If you can think of a better way to wake up, we'd like to hear it.
With twins, with twin babies, everybody who has a baby of roughly the same age as your baby, they always say, oh, they're going to be dating in a few years.
I'm putting a new twist on it, which is they'll be dating each other.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, everybody. This is The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Well, it's now time to do the, by the way, Billy, Webmaster Billy, is going to give us a little prom update. Yeah.
He looks like a broken man.
He has a 5,000-yard stare I've only seen in Vietnam vets.
What could have happened?
It was his personal Da Nang.
What didn't happen?
Only, I mean, but really, it has to be the expected result, right? If things didn't go well, isn't that sort of what he was anticipating?
No.
I think I could remember being 17 and not exactly being a hit with the ladies, and even though yes, I know, a shocker.
No,
yes.
I'm shocked. Weren't you like a big football star? And
I was a big football star, but not a hit with the ladies. And the thing about it was is you you put all your eggs in every date basket. It is so exciting. The dates are few and far between. You always shoot a little higher than you should be. What you should be is reaching down, scraping the dates off the floor and building up. You know what you should be doing? You should be padding your record.
Right.
You should be like a young prize fighter who only gets in the ring with journeymen,
chumps,
and tomato cans. Yes. Next thing you know, you're 18-0 and feeling pretty good.
Why didn't you help
instead of shouting out, "I want the best. I want Tyson. Bring him on." Meanwhile, I had no ring experience.
I disagree.
Just get clobbered.
Here's why I disagree. My life, first of all, as I've said before, the first 18 years of my life, barring my mother and sisters, I said a grand total of 9 words to girls.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to college, and the first girlfriend who was my girlfriend happened to be really good looking. So now it set the tone for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. My numbers are low.
Sure.
You understand?
They're few, but they're proud. Yeah.
My quality is high.
Yeah.
You know? And I think if you make a decision as a young man, do you want quantity or do you want quality? Well, I mean, listen, ideally both, but.
Well, I wasn't listening, but he came up with two great names for the twins.
Quality and quantity.
Because right now we're at Mortar and Pestle.
Do you really not have names? Really? This close to the birth?
We're getting close. I want to thump the kids. I want to see what they look like. You know, that's all I'm saying.
You said the callers can name one of your kids.
That's right. Garrett?
Yeah.
As long as it's a name my wife picked out. Garrett?
Adam.
You're on your way to a Jack in the Box?
Yeah, and I'm very high. And
Get the tacos.
No. I'm thinking of the breakfast sandwich, my friend.
What are you going with?
The ultimate breakfast sandwich.
Okay. All right.
But it's either that or the supreme croissant.
Okay.
Which one?
Well, a couple things. First off, I think Jack in the Box's apple pies are overlooked. Everyone focuses on Ronald McDonald's breakfast pies, when in fact, Jack probably has a superior apple pie.
Well, yes. I like how you talk of them as though Ronald McDonald and Jack are two people back there working the grill.
Listen, I know them, and they've heard me say as much, and if they're in the room, I tell them to their faces. They know it.
Is this guy driving high?
Sure.
I'll take that
as a yes.
Definitely.
Look, it's safer when you drive high. You drive slower.
Oh, I drive like a grandma.
Three hands on the wheel. Garrett?
Yeah.
Go with the apple pie. That's the first piece of advice.
Uh-huh.
And then you want to know whether to get the supreme breakfast sandwich or the croissant.
So I'm going to go with the ultimate with the hash brown.
Okay. All right.
99-cent tacos, even at this hour. That's the way to go.
If you're high, that's the way to go.
Hey, Adam.
More Papa you know.
Papa Bowie.
Okay.
Probably.
All right.
Howard Stern, baby. Get rid of Davishak.
Finally found some common ground.
Please. Get rid of Dave. Papa Bowie. No, right on. Hey, right on, Adam.
All right, brother.
Came back around.
I knew if he hung out long enough, he'd come back around again. All right. From your mouth to God's ears. Look at Billy, broken shell of a webmaster,
pacing about. Don't know what to make.
All right, we're gonna have to pick up the pieces. Look, here's the reality, Brisket. I don't know where the closest ATM is, but we're all going to have to chip in for a prostitute because that's the only thing that's going to right that ship. It really is. It's the Poseidon.
What about the Bunny Ranch? Can we send them over there?
We need to.
It's a good idea.
If they get that bullet train done already, we could throw them right on it. We could be done
let's
by this
do that.
Afternoon.
When he turns 18 years of age, let's send them off to the
send
Bunny
him to
ranch.
All right. Let's now do the... we're running late. Should we take a break? Let's take a break and then we'll do the news. Should we do that? Yeah, we're running late. All right. Had to let that guy yell Baba Booey 128 times, so we ran a little bit late. News and sports, and then we have the broken Billy, 17-year-old webmaster, going to fill us in on his prom date after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Jeff Frat Guy.
We met these girls.
Uh-oh.
They were gypsies.
Wow.
They were from Romania. They ripped us off for everything. Screw you. You messed with a thing.
Did you at least get some, Maverick?
I got the second bang. Putin got lame.
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 40, from Forrest Gump.
Mama, always say life was like a box of chocolate. You never know what you are gonna get.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I don't have to see that movie again. It was like I just closed my eyes and I was there. All right, the great Ozman coming in a little bit later. He has a review of the Da Vinci Code. But first, it is time with the news for Teresa Strasser.
We touched on this a little bit earlier. Mayor Ray Nagin was reelected this weekend in New Orleans. In a speech at a church yesterday, he said his top priorities will be housing and debris removal in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. His second term begins May 31st, which is just one day before the start of hurricane season.
Well, he's got his work cut out for him because after Bush's special op guys came in there and blew up the levees. Underwater demolition team, the SEAL team blew up the levees. Him and Spike Lee got to put that city back together again.
Shame on you, city of New Orleans. How could you elect this kook?
He's a great man. He loves black people and God. Yeah, he's great. His explanation about taking the milk chocolate and taking the cocoa and mixing it with the white, please, give me a break. He's a racist, but he's incompetent. That's the main thing. His city was a dump. That's why it floated away when the water came. It wasn't that the water jumped the levee, although that was a big part of it. The other part was no plan, no exit plan. Plenty of people living way below the poverty level who did not have so much as a flashlight, who had to sit on the roof in their slippers and house coat and wait for a helicopter to come. Now, he blamed the guys who flew the helicopter for the tragedy, not the fact that his city was so effed up that people couldn't get out of it.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Thank you. Nice job,
that
Nagy.
That was very, yeah. In entertainment news, at a Manhattan club last week, clothing designer Tommy Hilfiger allegedly attacked rock star Axl Rose, who was there to perform a surprise set for Rosario Dawson's birthday. Now, according to the New York Post, Hilfiger got upset because Axl Rose touched his girlfriend's drink. Hilfiger started throwing punches. There was fisticuffs. Mm-hmm. Axel allegedly did not retaliate, and eventually Tommy's own bodyguard pulled him out of the club.
Wow. Hilfiger has a girlfriend.
Yes. Is that the first shocking
gay
thing?
Yeah, that's the first shocking thing. Now I don't know where to go. Axel, as I mentioned before, doing okay. I think people wonder and never know. What are these guys destitute? Are they strung out? Are they broke? I tell you, I was at a Ferrari dealer about 3 months ago, and the guy pointed at an Enzo Ferrari, which is the million-dollar one that broke in half on PCH. Not the same car, but there's a handful of them in North America, and said, that's Axl Rose's Ferrari. He's also got another one in here. And that car was only bought like a year ago. So he has $1 million-plus dollars to spend on a new automobile. I'm guessing he's doing okay in the royalty department.
So we shouldn't be worried about him.
Yes, but the day when the front man for a hard rock group gets his ass kicked by a fae designer, that's a little frightening.
Well,
that means the career's over.
I got the sense from the reportage that I read that he was more like a Gandhi. He just passively resisted until Tommy Hilfiger got tired and was dragged out. Despite god-awful reviews, the Da Vinci Code came in number one at the box office, earning $77 million. The film marks the best domestic opening for star Tom Hanks and director Ron Howard. Here is actor Paul Bettany describing his first day working with Tom Hanks.
He wanted you to, you know, surprise me. And so they go turn over and they shoot it and he's talking and then I jump out of nowhere and I do it. And I grab him by the neck and I run him across the room and I hit, and it's all deadly quiet. I hit him into the thing, the light falls over, I smack him in the stomach and he lets out the most ripping fart.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite an anecdote.
Well, I used to like Hanks, now I love him.
I like that Bettany. He's married to Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Now, what's he playing in the movie?
He plays the scary, I believe he's an albino monk. He's an evil monk.
Mm.
And the movie...
Just edge out Wesley Snipes for that role, by the way. Yes.
The movie actually made $224 million worldwide, so it had a huge weekend.
Wow. I did not see it, but the Oz Man did, and he'll review it in a couple of few.
I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Elton John, well, Adam, you hate publicists.
Mm.
Elton John perhaps hates photographers equally. He was giving an award to a young actor late Saturday night in Cannes, or maybe it's Cannes, when photographers at the ceremony called out during his speech. That's when the pop star turned on them, saying, quote, "I'm talking, you F-wit, you effing photographers, you should be shot. You should all be shot. Thank you."
The great thing about being gay and then being an old queen is you can say whatever you want to whoever you want, whenever you want. And the other perk of being an old queen is you can grab as much booby as you want. You can grab young model boobs. You can walk up to strange 19-year-old women on the street and go,
"Isaac Mizrahi,
this is a solid C cup. Oh, fantabulous areola." So if you're gay, the perks of being gay is, you know, I mean, the downside is, you know, your family owns you and you have to go to hell. Right. But the good news is you get to feel boobies and you get to yell at anybody at any time. It's photographers, people doing interviews. It doesn't matter. You could slap a cop, pulls you over, they can't do a thing.
But was he always insane, or is this a recent development? He's gone loco, it seems.
Yeah. He's one of the few guys that was saner when he was high on drugs. Now he's gotten sober, he's gone insane.
Speaking of insane...
You know what? I'll tell you what it is.
Yes.
If you're gay and you have to stay in the closet for many years and you're a public figure, once you get out of the closet, you feel like I got a lot of living to do.
Right.
And part of that means speaking my mind 24/7. It's like the guys who are in the loveless, hapless, horrible relationship for 25 years and they get out and becomes an F party. After that, they have to bang everything that moves because they go, I got a lot of love stored up. So 25 years in a loveless relationship, I got nothing, and now I'm on a tear. I think if somebody tells you you can't talk about your sexual proclivity, you have to essentially live a lie, act like this, here's a fake date to take to the Oscars and the Emmys, all that kind of stuff, you then explode at a certain point, and then you have to tell everyone what you're thinking all the time. I think that's what's happening.
Well,
with
Elton. You add fame, wealth, and privilege and entitlement, and then it's Elton John.
That's right.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Here's the real shame, Ace, of the jag you just went on there, because the line was, speaking of insane, Teresa was about to say, speaking of insane, it's time for Dave Damashek. It would have brought the house down.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't
what
get
a
to
shame.
It.
That's all right.
Too bad. Hey, listen, it's finally over with. At least we can put the whole mess behind us. Barry the Creep Bonds has tied the Babe Ruth at 714. He hit the big home run on Saturday in Oakland, and he received a standing ovation for the most part. I didn't like
that. Well, he was in the Bay Area.
Yeah, exactly. 19-year-old kid Tyler Snyder, who we got to get on this show, Bruska, caught the ball and announced he hates Bonds.
Nice.
He's a jerk. I would put
that guy on the jerk report. What an ingrate. Because he can sell that ball for a lot of money.
Oh, I think it's terrific. Now, what I will say about the jerk report.
What do you think that ball's worth?
Well, not much, apparently. People estimate that these sorts of things, $500,000 sometimes, $1 million for some of these balls. They say that the Bonds memorabilia is depressed. It's a depressed market right now because he's a jerk. Combined with the steroid thing, and they don't know if they're going to be
a jerk.
That is right. Hey, what, you want that in your house?
That's the technical jargon from the insiders, the sports insiders say, because he's a jerk.
The jerkism.
Right. It'll be worth plenty, though.
Well, they say they don't know how much he's going to be able to sell for.
At least $70,000.
Even if a guy's sort of infamous in time, it'll be worth something. Like, I have part of Hitler's mustache. When I got it in the early 60s,
people laughed.
Wasn't worth the manila envelope it was in. Now, through the roof.
Because he was a jerk. And
right.
Well,
I will say this. I feel like I am doing some good with the jerk report.
Charlie Sheen will get high and buy that thing for over $1 million in a few years. Don't worry.
Bonds has, of course, been the creep of the week on the jerk report for 15 weeks running now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's maybe learning a little lesson. Listen to what he said in the press conference after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Glad it's over with. You guys can go watch Albert Pujols now because he's doing some wonderful things right now.
I like that. A little tip of the hat to someone else, not named you, Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You creep. For once, you honor somebody other than yourself.
I saw him wearing a Pujols Jersey later on in the day, though. So I think it was just a clever ruse to get them to, in fact, watch him again.
I see.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he stays on the jerk report. All right, let's put that ugliness behind us.
All right.
And look forward to this evening. Game 7 doubleheader.
Mm.
Dallas Mavericks at the defending champion Spurs. And then at 7:30, I hear on the West Coast, Teresa Strasser's vagina, a.k.a. the Valley of the Sun, is the site.
She's not Chavez Ravine, or is she both?
Why, then
can your vagina be a
two-sport?
Who's playing?
It's like the Michael Jordan of vaginas.
Who's playing in my vagina tonight?
Just it's so I the know. Clippers and the Suns.
It's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
What was that sound?
the pussycat.
I see.
Come on.
Will there be concessions for sale in there?
That's up to you,
okay, my lady.
That's your responsibility.
Yeah, it is bobblehead night, though. I do know that.
Winner of those two games will square off in the Western Conference Finals.
Hold on. They're laughing at my joke.
I can't.
Okay, continue.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Baba Booey.
Oh.
And then what else did he say? Damn a check.
All right, national pastime. As always, there's good news and there's bad news. Mm. So if you hear your name called here, congratulations are in order. You did a nice job yesterday. Go ahead and go outside for recess.
Mm.
Talking about the Dodgers, they swept the freeway series. Now just a half game out of first place. Giants, head on outside. You've earned it. Mariners, you too. Get out there. Not so fast, Padres.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to need to speak to you after class. You too, Athletics. And Halos. Matter of fact, Halos, 10 games under 500 now.
Wow.
I think it might be time for us to have that talk with your parents about, maybe a class for special needs kids.
Oh, well, you know, just don't want to see them get held back next year.
We're
going
to need to see some improvement in the grade department, Halos, and soon, or else we're going to have to do that. Now, finally, terrible stuff. Very sad Preakness on Saturday.
Mm.
You see, it was almost worse than seeing Joe Theismann break his leg.
It was horrible.
I like seeing animals on TV get hurt. You know, it's almost better to see the humans.
You're probably, ironically, eating one while you're watching the horse. But
well, our prognosticator, the Ed, is on the line from Vegas.
Yes.
Let's check in and see. He predicted Brother Derek, of course, would be the winner. But instead, it was Bernardini. And unfortunately now, Barbaro is not going to get to defend his... I mean, he's not obviously going to defend the Triple Crown, let alone perhaps even live. They did surgery for hours and hours.
Well,
yesterday, he's up on his feet. A
couple things. Horses have to stay on their feet all the time. So even though they have surgery on their leg, they recuperate by standing around.
That's why it's so upsetting to look at. You know his leg is flapping around. It's horrific looking. And you're like, just lay down, horse.
Yes. Yeah.
But he doesn't.
They have circulation problems, apparently.
Also, I was thinking, I didn't see it live, but I heard them talking about it. And I didn't look at it when it happened because that kind of stuff hurts my teeth. And then I started thinking, well, am I normal in not wanting to see it? Or are the people that want to see it normal? Did you guys want to see it?
I watched it and I actually wept. It was the sad. I'm never.
Why
watching
did you
other
put yourself
shows.
Through that? Though.
I didn't know he was going to break his leg. I was watching it live.
Oh, you watch it live?
Yeah, and then he pulls up.
Stan's crying.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Yeah, but still. See how that works? The Ed.
Hello.
What's happening?
Not much. How you guys doing this morning?
Good. Good. Hi, Ed's calling from Vegas. You did a little gambling on the ponies.
She hung up.
Huh? Sure enough. Hello.
Ed.
All right, well, Ed fell off the phone.
What happened to the Ed?
I don't know, but perhaps we shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say.
We also got to take a look at, I looked at the field here. We've discussed in the past, great horse names also happen to be great names for the Wang and
vice
versa.
That's how you know.
Right, exactly. Now, Bernardini, not memorable, I don't think. Not a great name for the Wang.
Yeah, but if you're an Italian guy.
And also, it has like a fascist sound to
Bernardini. It. Bernardini. That's right. He's going to overthrow your vagina.
Of the field, I would say diabolical.
Again, bobblehead night, by the way. Go ahead.
Diabolical, probably the best name in the field of this year's Preakness. But so many great ones from the past. You have Damascus.
Nice.
It's a good Wang name. Mm-hmm. Sly Fox. Tabasco Cat. Tecumseh.
Mm-hmm. No, Tecumseh's nice.
I like this one. The Bard.
Yeah, that works.
It's classy. Blue Man. How about this one? Bold.
Nice, yeah.
How about Montague?
How about the famous throbbing purple member, Baby, of course.
I don't remember that one.
Shot that
Here's
one.
Another one. Majestic Prince. That's Dynamite Assault.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like this one, too. Royal Tourist.
Yeah, that's a good name for the penis, too, yeah.
But here's my favorite one. Right up there with Smarty Jones.
Yeah.
Duke of Magenta.
Solid.
Only at certain times of the month.
Yeah.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Good for the Wang, good for the Stang, as we like to say. Jake?
Hey, Adam.
You want to get some tickets to the Teresa's Vagina, the Valley of the Sun?
Oh, yes, I would love some tickets to that.
All right, you got to turn your radio down.
Yeah, I just did.
Yeah, we'll be giving those away during the course of the show. But again, only the first 2,500 visitors are going to get the bobbleheads.
Limited space.
Really?
Yes, so you get there early. Now, what I like to do with Teresa's Vagina is I like to tailgate.
You bring a few beers, sit outside for a while.
Yeah, bring the buddies, open the cooler, crank up the Hank Williams Jr. I'll put the pig in the ground, put the beer on ice, just sit back and enjoy. Just take it in.
Is it where the tailgating goes on? Is it paved? Or is it?
It's a well manicured lawn.
Yeah, yeah,
that's nice.
Go down Hershey Highway. Okay. All right, this is sad. Let's take ourselves a break. When we come back, Billy, crestfallen webmaster, he is a heap of 17-year-old out there. Just a smoldering pile of man, a shell of his former self. And let me tell you, his former self wasn't anything that spectacular. People always say he's a shadow, a shell of his former. Yeah, but when when your former self was heavyweight champion of the world, then it's okay. When you start off as Billy and now you're just a shell of what you were, that's bad times.
Yes, well, he looks like he just did a tour of duty Viet prom.
Yes, he had a bad... He saw action in Viet Prom, and he stepped on a bouncing Betty. Yeah. My Lai Massacre went on in the ballroom at the Sheraton. Sad. We'll bring him in to... it's basically going to be more of an autopsy, I think.
Right.
It's a discussion on how his prom date went.
Investigation.
We'll get to the bottom of that after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
We want to play a little game called Name That Tool.
Angie, any thoughts?
Any thoughts?
Nothing.
Angie has no tool. She has a tool holder. She has one of those holsters you put your keyless screw gun in, but no actual screw gun.
Oh, I thought you were making a sexual innuendo.
No. Not when I say she has a beautifully worked-in leathery holster.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Billy's 17. He's our webmaster here. Shockingly, he doesn't have a prom date.
Yeah.
We brought in three ladies. Shannon.
Vocally resembles Chewbacca quite a bit.
Yeah. Shannon, I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Back to the Millennium Falcon with you.
One question for Nicole real quick. Okay. How many boyfriends have you had?
I've had two boyfriends.
And you... done it with them both?
Yes.
Nicole, would you like to go to prom with me?
Of course I would.
All right, 17-year-old webmaster Billy, crestfallen, riding high when we saw you kids in here on Friday, ready to take on the world and the prom. What happened? Walk us through it. Again, I have no idea what happened. I'm just seeing you drag your ass around this studio for the last 2 hours. I realize it didn't go well.
Well, I didn't get any.
Yes. Shocker.
Didn't get to kiss her at the end of the
no
night.
No kissing at the end of the night.
No.
What happened?
And
walk us through it.
So the limo...
Or is it too early?
No.
Okay.
The SUV limo thing pulled up to my house, and I got in.
You're wearing a tuxedo?
Yeah.
Traditional black?
Yeah, yeah.
You got your boutonniere on?
Yeah.
All right.
And then I have my camera with me. My mom gives me my camera and stuff so we can take a lot of pictures. And on the way over to the...
Nicole's house?
Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Your mom is with you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank Christ.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
the camera all of a sudden isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Christ. You come out of your house, you get into the SUV, and we're only this far now? This is going to take 17 hours to get through.
This is damn exciting stuff.
So, I mean, the...
He's low.
The camera goes on
the
fritz.
Yeah, the camera wasn't reading the memory card right.
Oh, and, the humanity.
Yeah, so I just, you know, I dropped that, you know.
We haven't even gotten to the girl yet.
Boy, is he setting the table, Dave.
I see.
Here so, we go.
Just dynamite.
When we pick up Nicole and then we go over to the Anaheim Hilton where my prom was at. And
was she beautiful when you saw her?
Oh, she was stunning. She really was.
Describe.
Oh, she was wearing a pink dress, floor line, high heel shoes thing. I don't know what you call them.
Looking beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
She's an attractive woman.
Very, very, yeah.
Did you get her corsage?
Yeah, I did.
Did you get her the nostril corsage I told you to get? So she can smell the flowers?
Yeah.
Wrist corsage or the pin-up one?
Wrist.
Classy.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
And then we get to the prom, and... there was a lot of communication problems.
That'll happen with a young couple sometimes.
And it was primarily because we haven't really, or I haven't been in any previous dating, you know, relationships, so I haven't had that experience.
What specifically was the problem? What do you mean communication problem?
I didn't talk a lot, and she was always, you know, getting on me to you know.
Talk?
Talking.
Well, did you ask her any questions?
Yeah.
Chicks dig that.
Yeah.
I tried to, but I mean, whenever I'm in front of her, I freeze up for some reason.
Well, you've been weaned on the computer. You're used to communicating to people through the keyboard, exactly. And now you have a beautiful woman in the flesh, in the limousine, with the wrist corsage on, and you have cotton mouth. Nothing to say. So, you guys sat there and was uncomfortable.
It was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she actually, when we were on the way to the prom, actually, she suggested to me that we go and we get an energy drink. So, So, you know.
She's trying to kickstart you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you stop off.
That's when you say, I got an energy drink for you, baby.
Didn't work. So, I mean, just.
Yeah, now you're at the prom, and what happens?
Nothing.
Did you do some dancing?
Nothing, no.
You didn't dance at all?
We didn't dance. I don't know how to dance.
Well, you weren't talking. What were you doing?
Well, I was talking a little bit, but, I mean, that's how it was. It was kind of bumpy because, you know, it
was uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I didn't talk.
You know? Right. And then now what happens? You sit there, you eat, you enjoy the prom, but there's no dancing going on.
We didn't eat either.
No eating.
No, well, we went out after the prom.
You just sat at the table and sort of gave each other the stink eye.
Pretty much.
For 3 hours. And then...
No, we stayed there for about an hour and a half.
And then you decide it's time to go out and grab a bite.
Yeah, then we go to Coco's.
Show her what he does best.
Yeah.
Coco's, you say?
Yeah.
You head to Coco's. All right.
And then we get the chicken strips and stuff. And
magical night.
Eat a little. And then she tells me that she has to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, so she wanted to be home kind of early.
Sure.
So,
she brought that up 4 hours into the night?
About 2 hours into the night.
She dropped that bomb about eight in the evening?
Yeah.
Well, when you work at Baskin Robbins, you gotta be wide awake. Mistakes can be made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When people, I've always found with dates, when people have any discussion about what they have to do the following day, it's always a bad sign.
Yeah. Of course, she works at Baskin Robbins. Of course, she has to be ready, poised
for the breakfast rush.
For the Sunday morning breakfast rush.
Oh, that's horrible.
Because there's nothing like a triple scoop or frozen banana at 6:45 in the morning. Really get the day moving.
Yeah, she doesn't work till 7.
Okay. All right. Nicole?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. No sparks between you two kids, huh?
No, I was trying my hardest to keep the conversation going. My sister suggested getting an energy drink to maybe liven them up a little bit. I just felt kind of like a blabbermouth. I was trying to talk like my whole way through it and kept asking him that he was okay. And he told me he was having a good time, so it was all good.
But he was nervous.
He was nervous. I could tell. And I could just told me, you know, like, talk to me like you talk to your friends or something like that. And he said he was scared of saying something stupid. And I said, I didn't care.
You know what I think the problem is?
Right.
You know what I think the problem is? I think it was too formal.
I think that if we were...
Mm-hmm. No.
No, don't listen.
I think if we were to go to, like, the movies or something, that it would be more...
Yeah, you could really talk through the movies. Right.
Billy's more of a hang-loose kind of dude. He got to let his hair down.
I see his point. It's all formal. You're dressed up. They've never been on a date before, and now they're at the prom. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Billy explained to me in the hall a couple days back, he was the kind of guy who liked wearing a collar, but rolling up his sleeves. So, Nicole.
Yes.
No kiss goodnight?
No kiss goodnight. He walked into my door and everything, and I don't know. I don't know if that's what he was expecting. I really had no idea.
Did you lean in, Billy?
I didn't really give any hints or anything.
What'd you do? Give her the shot in the arm? Or what'd you do? Handshake? No, thumbs up?
No, I just kind of looked at her and said, you know, have a good night.
Not
even a hug?
Oh,
baby. I think I gave her a hug, yeah.
Yeah, I gave him a hug.
And Nicole, what time did you have to be at Baskin-Robbins the following day?
I actually brought it up as soon as we got in the limo, you know, and I just told him, like, I don't really care that, you know, if we're out late, it's not a big deal. And he's the one who suggested we went home a little bit early, you know, because there's nothing else to do. And I had to be at work at 7 for inventory.
Sure. Those Jimmies aren't going to count themselves.
Absolutely. There's 31 flavors to keep track of.
Yes.
31 flavors.
Inventory.
Oh, Billy, this is terrible. Well, not as bad as mine, since my date, Chrissy Estorino, at the prom, ended up making out with someone else. Nicole, you didn't do that, did you?
Oh, no, not at all.
So, Nicole, what about it with Billy? Is there any chance for a second date?
I was like, call me, you know, we'll still keep in touch, we'll hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And, just as soon as we get this transportation thing squared away, you know, like, I have no problem hanging out. He's really cool.
Hanging out, but what about a more casual date? Because that's when my man Billy really comes alive.
Hopefully, if we see each other more and we go out on more dates, he'll warm up a little bit. I mean, I hate being the one there sitting, you know.
Well, you're
a conversation.
Yeah, you're hot and young. You shouldn't have to try to kickstart Billy. Billy, come on, buddy.
No experience. I mean, I didn't grow up with a dad. You know, he never taught me how to treat
the
lady.
That's what Adam is for. He's gonna. I mean. Yeah, Adam, how can he start a conversation with her next time?
No, I want you to look at me as your father, who you never see outside of the studio.
I'll do that.
By the way, ever. But as your dad, when we have to, you know, kill time on the radio show. Yeah, I'll teach you. I'll teach you how to be yourself. Watch.
Thanks,
Nicole.
Adam. Yes.
What's happening? Looking hot.
Ah, what's up?
Yeah. How about those Clippers?
Actually, I don't watch that.
Yeah, me neither. It's lame.
Keep it going. You're on a roll, Ace Good. Man.
Basketball's for nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just had to open a can of whoop-ass on a nerd that was watching the Clippers last weekend.
Oh, she's swooning. You can hear it over the phone.
Yeah.
You see, Billy?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I hear songs that remind me of stuff, but I really can't talk about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Don't try to get it out of me. You know what, man? I don't think you'd understand. I don't think anyone would ever understand, man. Sure, you want to solve my riddle. I don't know, though. I don't know if I can open up to you. I don't know if I can open up to any woman.
Oh, come on.
It's just like, man, sometimes when I'm alone, I just start thinking, you know? That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
That's all you got to do. You just brood a little bit.
A loner, you see, Billy?
That's right. That's right.
Tight-lipped about his mysterious past.
Yeah.
They swoon when you do that.
I'd like to hang out with you at the Cocos in Anaheim, but I got to ramble. I'm a rambling man. Yeah. I'd probably only have time to get to 14 or 15 of your flavors, not all 31. I'm a rambling man. All right. That's how it works. Nick is the limo driver. He has entered the studio. Nick, you were driving the obnoxious SUV?
Yes, I was.
How, what did you sense? You've done a lot of proms, a lot of dates, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was the energy between the couple?
You know what? The energy was, it wasn't there.
Wasn't there.
No, it wasn't
nothing.
There.
Let me ask you a quick protocol question apropos to, nothing to do with the prom. But whenever I get into a limo, I always want to raise the divider.
Yeah.
But I always think the guy's going to get PO'd. But all I want to do is talk smack and break wind. And so I want to raise the divider. But it would be weird if I got into the back of the car and then started raising the divider. Why don't you guys raise that divider? And if we need it down, we'll say something. It would be much more comfortable for us, the elite who ride in the back of the limo.
Yeah.
How about that as a policy? You guys get in and it's closed. Or you just say, where to, bub? Or I'll say, we'll be at the airport in 30 minutes and then raise it up. If you need anything, just go ahead and hit the thing. Otherwise, it's weird. There's a lot. You're boozing. Yeah. Sometimes you have girls in there. There's always a horrible stuff that you don't want anyone else to know about in the limo. But the divider, you feel weird if you raise it up. Just enact that as a company-wide policy. You don't have to answer.
I will definitely start doing that.
All right, so these two, did you hear any arguing? Was there anything that raised your suspicion level?
No. The trip to the prom was the whole get-to-know-each-other process.
Mm-hmm.
You got to realize how completely opposite they were.
Did you think they looked, just physically, did they appear to be a nice match?
You would think so at first, and then you would, and then you might hear the conversation.
Don't tell me that I would think that. I did not think that at all.
The conversation was stilted. It was no flow to it.
No. On one side, it was, I'm the president of ASB, and on the other side, it was, I moved out here because of personal problems, and it was just completely different.
Mm.
Totally different.
Mm. Well, what about a second date for you two, Billy?
I would. Yeah, I would definitely like to go on a second date. I just don't want it to be really formal. I want to have a good time, whether it be the movies or golf and stuff or something like that, something to really have fun.
Well, putt-putt golf.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what you need? You need one of those montage dates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ones where you guys are having fun, you're doing that thing where you're eating a sundae, she takes some whipped cream, she puts it on your nose, you laugh.
Exactly.
Next thing you know, you're running on the beach, hand in hand, walking out of the theater, walking out of the amusement park. Montage.
Yes, they're eating a hot dog together from both ends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Billy and the Tramp.
Oh.
I hope you took that in the spirit in which it was intended to call. All right, so can these two, by the way, I want to thank Casanova Limousine for hauling around our precious cargo, and also Roger Stewart Clothes for making Billy look lovely.
Didn't sound like there was any required cleanup after they left.
No, I was quite surprised.
Yeah, it was nice. No vomit, no semen, nothing.
It was prom night.
Yes.
So.
Yep. Just a couple energy drinks and some tears left behind by Billy. Sam. All right, we will, Nicole.
Yes.
We will work a nice casual montage date out for you guys.
This week.
Okay. Golf, all the stuff you guys love, all right?
All right.
All right, I'm sorry it didn't go well. Billy, you're beating yourself up, my brother. Do not beat yourself up.
Okay.
Look, she's willing to go out on a second date.
Did she say that?
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely.
She didn't really exactly.
I spoon fed her the words, but she spat them back out at me.
Well, no, we talked about it when we were actually in the SUV.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, or I think she suggested that we do something else that's not as
with other people,
right?
No,
right?
Just like go
group
to
date.
Yes, yeah. We'll both drink the same poison punch later on. Yeah, but it's bad when you're on a date and you're talking about your next date and how good it's going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like you can't salvage your date. You're in a limo. You're in a tux. Yeah.
Yeah.
No experience.
No experience.
No father to mentor you.
Exactly.
Was that your first date with a girl?
It was.
Mm.
Prom. First date.
Brusket. You're, while technically not a male, still a heavy-set lesbian who I believe could teach you some of the ropes when it comes to dating. So how about Brusket, you help young Billy, and I will tutor you as well, and you will be back. It'll be like MacArthur returning to the Philippines when you go on the second date.
Exactly. Yeah, Billy, as Carolla points out, let Brusca be your inspiration. If that load could get married, then certainly you have a woman in your future.
I thought he was a lesbian.
It's confusing. You're right. It's confusing.
That's right. He's only recognized in Hawaii. Parts of San Francisco and Vermont.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Okay, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Poor Billy. Don't beat yourself up. But let's get back to work on the web, huh? Machina.
Thank you, Corolla.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Tori Spelling, you brought your hunky guy along with you.
Dean, the fiance, and now he has a tattoo of her.
A tattoo.
Arm. Four. With a fifth up here, my family coat of arms.
We, the Corollas, have a cot and a dumpster and a roll of Bounty. Two rolls. They make a, they cross in front of the cot.
The Adam Carolla Show. I say Adam, and he says
Adam.
I say Hoffman, and he says
Hoffman.
Adam.
Adam.
Hoffman.
Hoffman.
That's just how Oswaldo talks. I say racist, and he says
racist.
I say confusion, and he says
confusion.
Racist.
Racist.
Confusion.
Confusion.
That's just how Oswaldo talks.
Mm-hmm. Ozzy in studio is going to review the Da Vinci Code. First, I just want to finish up on a conversation Damashek and I started at the urinal. The same one. That's right. A little sword play. Nothing wrong with that. We're talking about Webmaster.
I thought it was strange since there was an available urinal right next door. I thought you could have gone in there. But whatever. Let's not look back.
I could have, but we can't live in the past.
You're right.
I stand by my decision to share.
Calling all homos.
We're talking about Webmaster Billy and his inability to have a conversation with a woman in the flesh. And Dave was saying, well, that's funny because this guy talks all day long on the computer, actually answers a lot of email as Dave Damashek on the computer.
Yeah, I just
well.
Found out that he goes into my show's email and responds as though he's me. Yeah. Terrifying. People think I have that sort of poor grammar and everything.
Yeah, he says no, but Dave says yes. Point is I don't care. I was saying while I was urinating through Dave's legs, I wonder if kids of today's atrophy, if muscles have atrophied, their mouth, their brain, they can't talk to people in the flesh. They're fast with the fingers, but not with the mouth. You know what I'm saying?
It's like AJ Soprano on last night's show, yes.
Laughing away with his buddies via the computer. I don't blame anybody. If you told me when I was 15, hey, you can just talk to people all day long on the computer, ask them anything you want, I probably would have done it. It's much easier. There's nothing worse than going up to somebody in the flesh when you're in the 10th grade or almost any age. It doesn't matter. And it's another one of these things, too, that doesn't get better because you've been on the earth longer. It's something you have to go through. It's essentially like a circumcision. Better to do it when you're young. Better to go out in the eighth grade, ask girls to the dance, take a pounding, sort of get your calluses built up just a little bit, get a little game time experience, and then by the time you're in high school, college, or whatever, it's easier. Like, back to the foreskin analogy, if you never get it, you just never get it. It's worse to get circumcised at 35 than it is at 5 days of age. Billy has essentially pushed it back. We couldn't avoid it. And what I'm saying is you have the option as a teenager today, especially as a male teenager, never to really engage, never to look anyone in the eye, never to take your pounding in the flesh. You just do it over the computer. Your muscles atrophy, and now you become essentially an adult, and you have no ability to talk to people in the flesh. I just wonder what the future holds.
It's scary. Maybe he could have text messaged her at dinner.
Yes, they should have sat across each other at the Coco's. These mozzarella sticks are delightful. And then she texts back something. Right. Only problem is you cannot text a handy. And that's what grandfather, I remember he sat me down many, many, many years ago and he said, son, just remember on that computer, there's no emailing handies. And I really took it to heart. Yeah. Thank you. All right, now.
And then he passed.
Speaking of handies, Oswaldo.
I'm here.
In studio. I can't see you, Ozzy. What's going on? Lift your stool up.
I'm here.
Ah, there you are,
he
buddy.
Looks terrific. He's got this slick sort of hairdo all combed over to the side today. I like it a lot. It's a handsome look, sort of like Clark Kent.
Yeah, put a little pomade.
Superman butt.
And looking good, Superman. All right, what movie did you watch this weekend?
The Da Vinci Code.
Which one?
Da Vinci Code.
tell us about some movies.
The Benzie car?
Yeah. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Mm-hmm. The movie that I reviewing today is the Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm.
The movie star Tom Hanks is Robert Landon. Audrey Tautou.
Hold on. Robert Landon?
Landon, yeah.
All right, so Tom Hanks is Robert Landon.
Audrey Tautou is Sophie Nebu.
Sophie who?
Nebu.
Nebu. Right. Now you guess what letter is in her actual last name when he says Nebu.
Nebu.
Just like Da Vinci, I'll give you a clue.
What was the first one though? The first her real name.
Yeah, what Audrey is her name like
she's French. Audrey Tautou.
Yeah.
Oh, so he wasn't far off.
Well. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. And Sophie Nebu.
Mm-hmm.
Ian McKellen is Sir Lay Tabing.
Right.
And Paul Bettany is Silas, mm-hmm. the murderer, the bad guy.
He's the bad guy, all right.
Tom Hanks is the famed symbology for Professor Robert Landon.
Hold on, he's what? Tom Hanks is what?
He's the famed symbology Professor Robert Landon.
See, are you drunk? No?
No.
Okay.
I am 2020,
all right.
Helping the investigation of mm-hmm. the murder of the curator in the famous Louvre Museum.
What museum?
Louvre.
Here's what all I'm saying.
Seasonings Museum.
These names, whether it be the name of a car, the name of a museum, or the name of the guy who's been paying your bills for 16 years, namely Adam, are these things open to debate? The Louvre is the Louvre. Is it not a Chevrolet Cordova? Is a Chrysler Cordova? You know what I mean? My name's Adam. I don't think it's open to debate.
The Louvre. Ozzy says otherwise.
All right. What do you call it?
The Louvre.
Okay.
That's good. All right.
Museum.
Mm.
The curator is marked with several satanic symbology.
Mm-hmm.
The body after killer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is different only if Jesus Christ had sex with Mary Magdalene.
What the hell?
I don't know. I know it's blasphemy, but I'm not sure what kind.
This is the problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Only for... Has Jesus Christ have sex with Mary Magdalene, you know, and had that daughter?
Uh-huh.
All for saving the royal blood, you know?
The royal blood, right.
Jesus Christ is the human inspiration. I like this, you know, any time Tom Hanks say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part is when Tom Hanks and the lady are being following to the police in a little rush car.
Mm-hmm. Little roach car.
Yeah, it's a little...
One of those little micro cars they have in Europe.
The mini.
Yeah, like the mini.
The Da Vinci Code left this reviewer cold.
Oh, really? They didn't enjoy it. I heard it was... Teresa, you saw it.
Yes.
I heard it was slow-paced.
Yeah, it seemed like some of the actors were in a different movie. They all had different styles. But mm-hmm. actually, I agree with Oswaldo in that there was a nice movie with Tom Hanks at the end where he examines the nature of... You know, divinity and whether Jesus, if Jesus did have children.
Hold on, he didn't just do Stick It?
No.
He did the Da Vinci Code? Because now I'm confused.
You did do the Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Da Vinci. Oh, okay. All right, had good moments. Would it have to be disappointing because it was so hyped for so long?
Well, the reason I enjoyed it was a triumph of expectation management because mm-hmm. I expected it to be horrible and only saw it because I thought you guys would see it and I didn't want to be left out.
Mm-hmm. So you heard the reviews were bad.
Yeah.
You went to see it just to keep up on things.
Right, expecting you're the to
news,
hate it.
You're the award-nominated news girl.
Thank you.
And you expected to be disappointed or to hate it, and it turns out it was better than what the critics said.
Yes. Exactly.
Now, Ozzy, as a Christian man, though, did you find it offensive? Was it sacrilegious, the movie?
Nothing for me.
No.
You know, everybody needed some relation, you know, some relax, you know. Maybe Jesus Christ have it, you know. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus, if he had a woman, so be it, you say.
Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
It's always a great, great sign for the world, and it always makes me realize I think I'm from another planet whenever everyone embarks in these discussions, these heated debates about nonsense that has to do with nothing. Just these guys are protesting. These guys are firing back. Somebody said this. Somebody thought that. I just stand back. It's really like, to me, once in a while you see these nature films where a dung beetle goes at it with a salamander or something. I just feel like a 9-year-old kid just watching them go at it. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know whose side I'm on. It doesn't make sense to me. It'd be funny if the salamander strangled the dung beetle. It's more just amusement. But I don't feel like I have to return with the dung beetle or the salamander. There's nothing at stake. I just marvel at it.
It's like the cobra versus the mongoose. The cobra versus Ricky Tikki Tavu.
It's Tavi.
That's upsetting with Tavu.
Tavu.
The cobras, they whisper on that.
You've turned him into a Canadian hockey player, Ricky Tikki Tavu. Ricky Tikki Tavi. Even Ozzy knows that, right, Ozzy?
Yeah. I talked to yesterday to one lady, old lady, a friend to mine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's Catholic. He said, I don't like this movie. I say, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why you don't like it? I start to over Jesus Christ, you know, they have a woman.
Right.
So, what happened to, you know, to the father, you know, violation a lot of kids in the church, you know, and the problem for the Catholic, you know, religion.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, I don't know.
Right, the more you know. I agree, Ozzy. I totally agree. Look, listen, you idiots, just go ahead and do battle. I'll just be the 9-year-old watching you guys roll around in the dirt, provide some entertainment.
It helped the
for
movie.
Me.
I mean, Jesus opens a movie. Look at The Passion of the Christ. It did huge. Mm. And Da Vinci Code did very well.
Well, here's the good news for Ozzy.
I hear he was really high at the premiere.
Next week, you get to review The X-Men. That's going to be the movie of the summertime.
Yeah. Already getting,
X-Men.
Getting good reviews. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Ron Jeremy, speaking of guys going to hell.
Thank you.
Ron Jeremy is going to be in studio next. And then we got Ted Nugent coming up. Still more news and sports. All that coming up after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Dodgers hosting the Atlanta Braves at Chavez Ravine.
Chavez Ravine, by the way, is what he calls his wife's private parts. Yeah, it's true. That's why he always gets angry when I says I'm heading down to Chavez Ravine to eat a dog.
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Ron Jeremy, he can lick a... Can I say that?
Of all the men in the business, Ron is the best at woman.
Apparently Nina Hartley taught him how, because apparently when they first got, you know, together like this, Ron Jeremy was just going after the and that was it. And you have to like work around the whole kind of thing and inside and stuff.
Ron Jeremy in studio evidently knows how to please the ladies. Ron,
thank you very much.
First off, Ron is in studio talking about Boondock Saints, which is a movie that I saw reviewed on Roper and Ebert last night, and two thumbs up for, I think, not only the movie, but the documentary about it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah,
the thing about this film is that, according to Blockbuster and DEG, the distribution, it's the number one straight-to-video feature that Blockbuster's ever had, supposedly.
Well, still the best work you've done to date is in Spank Me, F Me. Which I thank you for getting me.
I want to thank you for sharing that with everybody.
Ron with the fabulous Minka, number one Asian big group queen.
Oh, we brought it right back into the gutter where it belongs. This
you could tell she was miserable having sex with you, Ron.
Didn't you just say in the beginning of this broadcast that he likes to please women? That was from my documentary.
Minka was not happy to be with the hedgehog. I gotta tell you.
Perfectly. I've been with her since, so she wasn't that upset.
Yeah, you had to pay her. She had a puss on the whole time.
I can tell when they're not happy
to be there. That's fine. It makes it better for me. We thought the hedgehog would give some advice to Billy, who's known in the porn realm as the decorator. Billy 17 webmaster did not do well on his prom last Saturday. He froze up.
Which prom? Like, was it which school? Is it college?
It was an alternative school.
Oh, okay, all right.
He's a senior in Rio Honda High School.
Well, listen, when it's your first prom date, you want to be a gentleman. The girls appreciate it. You give her a kiss on the cheek. You give her flowers. The whole.
He didn't touch
anything. They say they don't. Your girls like the corny thing still. Mm-hmm. Flowers,
opening
candy.
The door. That
did
stuff.
Did you do all that stuff for your prom date?
No, I got
no wonder nothing happened.
I go to a corsage, but I mean, other than that, it was just pretty blank.
But what's the one? But you have a nice time and enjoy each other's
company? Oh, we had a great time, yeah.
Then he did good.
No.
Well, they didn't have anything to say to each other. He ran out of things to say.
Yeah.
Well, as if you keep going out there and you stay a gentleman, yeah, I have something you're going to say. There, you're going to say that.
Nice.
No, look, you did fine. You did fine. You had a nice conversation, got to know each other.
Ron, what do you talk about, though, when there's that lull in the conversation?
Occupation, hobbies, what are you doing with yourselves? Well, what kind of films do you like? You're right. Have you seen Ron Jeremy's latest?
Masturbating on the internet and going to the 11th grade, though.
I wouldn't suggest you discuss that.
Yes.
You know who Ron Jeremy is? Some guys use that as a gauge to say anything.
Yeah, I'll use Ron as a stepping stone.
If the girl knows,
you think
I'll stick with this girl.
Yeah. And if
she doesn't know, go by. I'll see you later.
If she says salty, then it's time to move on.
No, it's time to see her twice.
All right, Ron, I still have your penis, by the way.
I want to thank you for sharing that, too. And yes. What do you do with this?
Ron,
I'm scared to ask.
None of your GD business. Ron gave me a likeness of his phallus that he had in the trunk of his car, one of those actual mold Doc Johnson jobs where they actually mold you.
Many years ago, yeah.
How does that work?
Notice how we're getting so much more mainstream now. Now I bring in mainstream movies. Then I brought him a mold.
Yeah.
How do they work?
Well, yeah.
If you give it to a girl, say, look, if you can't have Ron himself and he's away, you can...
I know what you do with your phallus. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Wore the thing down to a nub.
Thanks for sharing. Okay,
but
good.
How do you do the molding part?
Oh, it's actually very uncomfortable. Well, you have to actually, go to a studio. In this case, it was a Pipe Dream Productions.
Mm-hmm.
And you dip things into a vat of a cement-type material.
Uh-huh.
I was smart because I placed it where you go... down. That way, in case you start to lose things,
right,
the mold stays.
Right.
They were putting it... I saw other guys, like Peter North has done it, Rocco's done it. They put it sideways.
Yeah.
That's bad, because then if you start to lose, then you're going to have to redo the whole thing. I did it with the buckets on the floor.
Smart.
So I do, push-ups right onto it.
Right.
That way, if you start to lose it, you've already made the indentation. And they're going, good thinking. And that's how we did it. It's not very comfortable.
Man holds a master's degree, by the way, and it's that kind of thinking... That 20 years later, when you're putting your schwanz into a bucket of plaster Paris,
It comes in handy. Ron, have you used your master's? Yes, I have. I'll tell you when. I put my schlong into this thing.
Right.
Are you comfortable with the idea of gay men using it on one another? Your wang?
That's a little bit uncomfortable, I guess. No, I don't mind.
You don't mind.
Look, I don't care who uses it if they're having a nice time,
Don't believe it's like a voodoo wang where all of a sudden you're walking down the street and some gay guy's got hold of it and he's doing God knows what to gay Vito, and all of a sudden you clutch your groin.
Where am I going?
Police found Ron Jeremy's wang in Gay Vito's rectum.
Okay.
Well, can I ask you a question of Ron Jeremy? When we played that clip of the women, they were all saying that Ron Jeremy was the best at, and maybe this isn't any at oral sex, and maybe this isn't anything that Billy needs now, but what is it that makes you so great?
I could quote Sam Kennison on this one. He used to say, do the alphabet. I'm trying to keep this radio savvy so we don't get bleeped, right? Lick the alphabet. Can I say that?
Yeah.
That was a Sam Kennison line, and it was always true. The whole trick was, you please the girl before you please yourself. That's
also,
the main trick.
I also believe...
And don't let her even see it until she's had at least an orgasm. Yeah.
Take this in the spirit in which it's intended, Ron. But Ron is like the Rudy of porn stars. Maybe not what you'd like to see in the mirror. It's not one of these pretty boys. He has to work extra hard, but he overcompensates, and he comes out on top.
Well, the fact is the girl is the draw in porn. They're the fantasy, you see.
Mm-hmm.
In the gay films, the guy would be the draw. But in the films we're the props. If you look at the best-known male actors, from John Holmes to Ed Powers to Max Hardcore to myself, you wouldn't call us Chippendales guys.
Mm.
But if it's the average guy, that's often what happens.
Yeah, average guy with a 13-inch font.
All
right, hold on.
The average guy relates.
Dave's very animated about this one topic.
I'll tell you why. I'll answer if you want. Because you see, when you're a kid in school, the football team gets the beautiful cheerleaders. You see guys like me getting lucky in the adult movies. It's like, hey.
Well, my issue isn't so much with the way you look. It's the size of the wang. If you understand that 98% of your viewing audience is male, right? Straight men, probably.
This is a large audience, yeah.
Right.
It's becoming more couples.
So why is it that every wang in the pornos have to be humongous, because then it's intimidating to the regular guy?
They actually don't. You know, I wouldn't want to mention names because I don't want to embarrass Randy West, but listen. He's going to kill me for that one. You don't really, it's not all that necessary. You know, I work with a company called Metro, and they hire guys that are, you know, big, small, you know, Metro Interactive. They hire guys that are from all different walks of life. I mean, if you look at the movies,
you don't have to defend your huge schwanz.
They all have to be large.
Listen, you like the movie Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah.
You didn't want to see him swinging a letter opener over his head. You wanted him to have a battle axe.
It's a visual thing, but
it's visual.
A lot of the top guys aren't necessarily huge. As long as you can actually keep the thing going, that's the important
thing.
Now, with all the various drugs that are out there, from, you know, Vigorex to Viagra to what else, guys can now perform guys that normally wouldn't.
A lot of the guys, we need to take a break, but it seems like a lot of the guys you came up with were just regular guys. I mean, there were theater actors and college students.
Back in the middle to late 70s, that's where they came from.
Porn is sort of like pro athletics in a certain sense, that when you hear about baseball players from many years ago, we played baseball, and then during the off season I drove a milk truck. You know, people had other jobs, they had civilian lives, they weren't groomed for this like they are now. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Ron Jeremy in studio. Boondock Saints.
Thanks, Ron.
Name of the movie, Billy?
By the way, it's going to be in theaters tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And it's today, in 120 theaters in America, and it's on DVD, the new release, tomorrow, because it did so well in the last 4 years that 20th Century Fox picked it up.
Doing a lot of legitimate acting. I don't like it. It's a very dangerous trend. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
You have some advice you want from the Def Rat guy?
I was wondering what I can do to convince my girlfriend that let me have anal sex with her.
I was in a similar predicament. She said, let's wait until we get to Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel manager came in the next morning. He thought a deer was being slaughtered or something. But all it was with the screams of Devin's pleasure.
Well, that is sound advice.
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
This stuff is funny, man. Give it here, package boy.
Joey Bevo said it was important. Said I had to give it to myself.
Sit the f*** down. So, I'm Rocco. I'm the funny man.
Ron Jeremy.
How'd you get that shine around your eye? Madison, I think you're very funny.
There he is. Ron Jeremy. Boondock Saints. Re-released after all these years because of popular demand. Got a big thumbs up from Roper and Ebert yesterday. I was watching them. We have a call, by the way, for Ron. Keith?
Yeah.
You got a question for Ron Jeremy?
Yeah, I was wondering if he gets harassed a lot for his big schlong. My buddy harassed him out in Hollywood one night.
It's got to be tough, guys yelling at you.
These yell nice things. These yell nice things.
What'd your buddy do to him?
Well, we were outside of the Rainbow Room. Ron Jeremy was coming out of a restaurant next door with a really pretty older lady. And they're getting in his car. My buddy starts screaming at him, "Yeah, donkey schlong," and like making gestures of a big old one.
That's gonna bother me.
tell
me where the insult begins.
Screaming in front of his car and stuck his ass on the window of his passenger door, right in his girlfriend's face.
I did that.
Pretty older ladies, a 23-year-old.
Your buddy did that
with Ron.
I think I yelled at something like "just say no to crack" or something like that.
I don't know if you did or not, but I mean, you were really cool about it. You didn't act like a dick.
Well, Ron, everybody, you're incredibly recognizable.
And the Rainbows is a good place to leave, by the way.
Everyone knows who you are, but it's interesting. I don't know if people can as readily admit they know who you are as they could another celebrity, because that means they're watching these movies.
Sometimes it's very funny when you see that, when the husbands as well, and they keep it to themselves.
Right. Now, I would imagine years ago you got more of that than you do now. Now you're sort of ubiquitous, and the line has been blurred.
Yes.
You're either celebrity or you're not. Either people know who you are or they don't. But back in the day,
more people saw me on Surreal Life than probably saw any adult film I've ever made, according to Variety. So now it's more since the more mainstreaming and stuff and the, some of the regular features. Yeah, mm-hmm. Now it's a lot more, hey, how's it going? How are you? That kind of thing.
Right.
And now it's also more women and younger people from mm-hmm. the more mainstream stuff.
Do you watch porn?
You know, I made the same joke about porn and reality shows. I don't mind being in them. I don't like to watch them that much.
Mm-hmm. Even when it's girl on girl.
I direct some of those, but it's okay. I'd rather watch HBO, probably. Mm.
Yeah. Who do you think is the most talented porn actress working today?
The biggest one is probably Jenna Jameson. And of course, Tara Patrick's right there. I'd say second. And then, of course, Tabitha Stevens, Christy Canyon, Gina Fine, Shayla LaVeau.
If you worked with all of them?
Terry Weigel. Of course, Taylor Wayne. Well, I've worked with those are the ones I've worked with. They're some of my favorites, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have not worked with Jenna or Tara, but they're probably the top two right now.
Mm. Would you like to... to work with them? They have a writer in their contract.
No one's contract. They're with different companies. Mm-hmm. I'm with a contract with Metro and Tara and Jenna. Well, Jenna's with her club, Jen, and also with Vivid. So
ever any sex off camera with the porn stars? I know it sounds stupid, but when you're done working,
we got strict rules. But of course there is. I mean, sometimes, of course.
Well, I just mean you've already done it with them all
day. What's great is when you get this is one of the best things in the world, and people love this. Mm-hmm. When it's done, you know, the guy has to be videotaped, you know, right?
Right.
What? That's the sound it makes. But now the girl often is left there, and sometimes you get a girl who's pretty tough and goes, hey, you ain't leaving yet, mister. Even if they stop shooting and they go, hey, right. I want to finish too. And I love when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while it happens. Well, the girl wants to
You will stay and mop up.
Yes. Well, good look, sometimes, you know, in all fairness, not all girls can actually orgasm on camera.
No, it's tough to do. Forget that. About the camera
some,
anywhere.
Some
Ever.
Do. Some do. And sometimes they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to respect that.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. All right, so you'll hang out, and even though you're off the clock,
we're done, right?
You're done. You've
people are cleaning up. Cameras are being picked up.
You fulfilled your obligation.
They're breaking down the lights.
You're still, Ron Jeremy will hang out until you're like one of these celebrities who will not leave until every autograph is signed.
Yeah, but in all fairness, most guys would do that, too. I'm not the only one who could say that.
What a
mensch.
Most
of the guys would do that.
As my people say in the porn industry, what a mensch.
Who's going to turn that down? Most guys would stick around.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Ron, thank you very much for coming in.
Can I mention these the other films?
Go right ahead.
Well, besides, of course, Boondock Saints, which comes out today.
Sure.
You know, Think Pictures picked up a film called Andre the Butcher. They had Aristocrats.
Yes.
They just picked up a documentary called F. But this thing here is Andre the Butcher, which is now in Blockbuster and video stores. And look at the two different boxes.
Yes, Ron, you play a maniacal surgeon?
I play a maniacal butcher. Andre the Butcher. Mm-hmm. And in this film, yeah, so they're two different boxes.
Horror movie.
Me. Right. And it's a really good one. It's got some comedy. Also got great reviews. Andre the Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
And that and Charlie's Death Wish, another great little B movie that's out there.
Come on, Ron. Your IMDb must be going through the roof.
Take a look at it.
I'm looking at it now.
We will take ourselves a quick break. Ted Nugent will be back when we come back. Also news and sports. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Gene Simmons. First off, Gene has no vices other than the ladies.
That's not a vice. Biologically, that's exactly what we're designed to do. That's
I didn't mean like bad habit. I mean my wife, I think of as a shop vice.
I'm
physical bench vice, crushing the life out of me. Vice.
Everyone's entitled to Adam's opinion. The Adam Carolla Show.
Smarten up. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and you're listening to the devil-loving Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Well, you don't have to because the Nuge is on the phone. Ted Nugent, I guess he's calling from Michigan. I saw Supergroup last night. It was good. I'm into it.
It's a great show.
Nugent is in there along with Sebastian Bach and Scotty in from Anthrax and Jason Bonham, Biohazards, Evan Seinfeld, by the way, bald, goatee, aggressive piercings and sleeved with tattoos, although I'm not sure. I'd like to see a picture of Evan Seinfeld circa about the ninth grade. See the large Jufro.
I'm sure his bar mitzvah photo is nice.
Yes, I like when guys overdo it in the other direction. Ted?
How you doing, Adam?
Good to speak to you.
I appreciate it, man.
Are you in Michigan right now?
No, I'm actually calling from Crawford, Texas. We're just getting ready to go to Europe tomorrow morning.
You're doing a little touring, are you?
No, we never do a little anything, Adam. We're going to go over there and scare the living hell out of them.
You're doing a maximum amount of touring?
Yes, full bluntal nudity or nothing.
How, I watched Supergroup last night.
Weren't
and enjoyed
we adorable?
It. Yeah, it works.
Adam, I want you to admit that I will win the Black Redneck of the Year award in both the precious and adorable categories again.
Well, the thing about Ted is just when you've decided to hate him, you realize there's something you like about him.
Well, I'm harmless. I'm absolutely, in the final analysis, I mean, if anybody was honest, and most people are, if you look at Uncle Ted, I'm in the asset column. I help my fellow man. I help people. I help make good rock and roll, and I certainly make you laugh a lot.
I rented Uncle Ted in the asset column, by the way, over the weekend. It was not good.
With the middle finger on fire. Yeah.
Ron Jeremy.
So, Supergroup. Now, have you guys figured out a name for yourselves, by the way?
Yeah, we finally did stumble onto one. I don't even know if I should talk about it, but there is a website, so I suppose it's the cat's out of the bag.
Go
we
ahead.
Call ourselves Damocracy.
And how did whose idea was that?
Well, we started wrestling around a bunch of really embarrassing names. I mean, I still like Chesty Puller. You know who Chesty Puller was, don't you?
No.
Well, Chesty Puller was this wonderful quintessential U.S. Marine Corps hardcore Semper Fi son of a bitch that while the bureaucrats were trying to decide what to do with the enemy village, he'd just go and kill everybody. So Chesty Puller is a big hero of mine, and none of the guys in Supergroup had the faintest idea what the hell I was talking about.
You're telling me the guy from Biohazard didn't know what went on in Vietnam 40 years ago? Yeah, I was watching, and Evan from Biohazard, it looks like he took a swing at Sebastian Bach.
Yeah, there are, you know the passion that they all feel. I was really uncertain. I wasn't quite sure of how hardcore music heavy metal white guys were, but it turned out that Scott Ian certainly has a deep heart and soul connection with the rhythm and blues that I was weaned on. And it turned out in many ways that so did Evan Seinfeld. They really have great musical ideas. And most importantly, what makes this show more compelling as it goes on is that they're all very passionate about making music and throwing in what they believe in into the collaborative effort.
And yeah,
what Evan really did was get into it. As you will see, there is an intervention coming up with my friend Sebastian Bach, and Evan's first attempted intervention just happened to include a knuckle sandwich, so it will be entertaining as hell, I promise.
Yeah, early forms of intervention.
Yes, that's just one of my favorites, by the way.
Strikes to the face by your friends.
I prefer a crowbar, but I let Evan go.
The show, by the way, for those who don't know how it works, it takes these five guys who had no idea who they'd be working with, puts them all in Liberace's bathroom. It's a mansion, but it's the most decadent, and even by Vegas standards, decadent mansion.
It was perfectly decadent, yeah.
In Nevada, and they have 12 days to put together a name, some songs, and play a set in front of a large group. And how many songs are you guys going to do, or did you do?
Well, we ended up, you know, we're all big fans of the classic, you know, gutsy rock and roll, so we ended up playing a bunch of AC/DC music and a bunch of my songs and Led Zeppelin songs, and we put together a set list just to kind of exercise our musical muscles, and when we finally did put a concert together, I gotta tell you, we played like we'd played 100 shows in a row. They really, really nailed down the essence of those songs that we all really dug, and then we did three of our own songs.
You did three original songs.
Yeah, three original songs, yeah.
Because I would do a 45-minute version of Smoke on the Water.
Would you now?
And then when I did my original song, I would start off with Woman, I'm Gonna Leave You, and now Ted Nugent with a guitar solo, and then you just do a 40-minute guitar solo, and we'd wrap the concert.
That would do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, fire an arrow into the crowd off the guitar.
What more do you need, Dave? Well, the great thing, which you're going to enjoy coming up, Adam, is I took the guys out to the desert with a bunch of my SWAT buddies, and we just hosed down the topography with fully automatic machine guns. And when we came back from that little gun fest, the guys had a little bit more attitude and piss and vinegar to put into the music. So Uncle Ted did bring the spirit to a new high.
So there's plenty of meltdowns to come. There's some booze-fueled breakdowns.
Yo.
I also know Evan from Biohazard leaves the band at some point. They have no bass player.
Well, it was a temporary escape. The tension does get high, especially when you're kind of forced into an experiment that only happens for 12 days. Because a real rock and roll band, believe me, I started back in 1957 in Detroit. And the collaborative effort is one of trial and error, not just with song and musical ideas, but with musicians who you can really communicate with. And the five of us really were forced into the, not forced, because we all look for the adventure and the attitude, well, the conflict. We love conflict, don't we?
Well, I was saying to somebody, I can't remember who, maybe it was on Friday when we were talking about the premise for the show, I'll watch five people I've never seen before sit in a house and just eat their own boogers for 12 weeks. I'll certainly watch five guys I do know who are rock stars with a goal in mind, which is playing a concert. The clock is ticking. You only have 12 days, and it didn't seem like you guys got anywhere at the end of last night's episode.
Well, they manipulate the editing a little bit to make us look like bigger chimps than we actually are, but the concept, I knew it would be a real entertaining television show, because when I did this damn Yankees thing with Tommy Shaw and Jack Blades and Michael Cardellone, we sold about 5 million records through this process of respecting each other's musical history and musical touch while milking blood from each other and challenging each other to come up with great musical ideas that turned us on as a unit. And my manager, Doug Banker, and I, as we did the damn Yankee thing, we really knew that people would be truly intrigued, if nothing else, at the process by which music erupts from nothing, and the musical ideas and the personality, the emotions, the humanity that goes into the music. And I think, certainly in my wonderful gravity-defying career, every band I've ever jammed with, every band that I've created, from the damn Amboy Dukes, the damn Yankees, the damn Ted Nugent Band, and now Damocracy, every band really puts their heart and soul into it, and they bleed a lot, both physically and spiritually, in the process, and the insanity level of the passion, the sheer energy, the brutality of fighting for your musical ideas is what's going to make this show fascinating, I think.
Ted shot 3 deer during that jag, by the way.
Yeah, he never hurt anybody.
3 deer a day, baby.
All right, your venison ship. We need to take a break. Ted, I will be watching Supergroup.
Good, Adam. I appreciate it. God bless you guys. Happy barbecue season.
Thank you. I watched it. I did watch it last night. It was thoroughly enjoyable. VH1, Sunday nights at 10 o'clock. See what Ted and the boys are up
Ron
to.
Ron Jeremy to the news.
Next
That's
week.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'll tell you, usually hunters and rockers don't talk that much, and usually porn stars don't talk that much, but I would defy you to find a rock star that can move his mouth faster than Ted Nugent, and I would defy you to find a porn star that can yap it up as much as Ron Jeremy. We'll take a break. You can think about that during the break. We have a call from our buddy who's in prison, Johnny Delinquent. He's calling from the state prison in Soledad. Brusket, what's he in for, do you know?
Conspiracy to commit murder.
Oh, but he didn't actually do it, but he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
All right. What's he going to talk to us about?
What's going on in prison.
Oh, okay.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
I do have questions about life behind bars.
It's fascinating.
We'll talk to him. Well, we'll see. After this.
The Adam Carolla Show. It's a lot more entertaining than those schmucks in your carpool.
Hello? Anybody home, huh? Think, butthead. This is Tom Wilson. You're listening to that really good Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM because he's pretty good.
Stay right here. There's more coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show.
There's a part in this song where he goes, hey, you, good-looking female. Right in the middle of the song. There's a nice little rape reference. This was when rock was rock. Guys talk about busting out of prison. Me and the boys heading into town. Gonna tear things up. Now you guys sit around and whining about chicks or talking about the environment. Rockers used to talk about taking over towns. Hide the ladies. Hide the girls. We're coming to town. When the band comes to town, I gotta hide the ladies. Right, let's get to that line.
Tonight there's gonna be trouble. Some of us won't survive.
Yeah.
See, the boys mean business.
Boys mean business.
Busting out dead or alive.
That'd be a good karaoke number for you.
Yeah. Wait, here it comes. No, they didn't do it yet. Now we have to hang on until he yells, "Hey, you good-looking female." We have David Valdez on the phone. He's in jail as we speak.
He's got nothing but time.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, just keep feeding quarters into that thing.
Just take requests, hear if he wants to hear a song or something.
I'm sure this isn't great on the prison radio, Jailbreak. So there's just like an 18-minute guitar solo, and then we're going to get the part I'm talking about. Oh, wait a minute, he's talking. Turn it up. Oh, here's the sirens. What happened to this part in rock and roll? Sirens going off? Bands going over the wall?
I think you've proven your point. Rock and roll was way better back in 1974.
Don't you diss Thin Lizzy. All right. Now I'm obsessed with that one line.
I think we're now prisoners of your obsession.
Yes, you are. Speaking of prisoners, David Valdez on the phone. David?
Hey, how you doing?
Hang on. Hold on. I'm not done with Thin Lizzy. Pot it back up. How long you been in the joint, David?
This Adam?
Yeah.
Hey, man. What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
I'm doing life, man. They got me a max security.
All right. So where are you going? Hang tight.
Yeah.
He's really chipper given the circumstances.
Yeah. What's he going to do?
It's all the saltpeter they put in his hash.
That's probably what it is.
Oh, wait a minute. Here he is. He's going to say it. There it is. All right. See, it was worth the 10 minutes.
Definitely.
Hey, you, good-looking female. It's rape time.
Doesn't need to know her name.
That's right. That's right. All right, David, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all good, man. They call me delinquent, man.
All right. Well, they call everyone in there delinquent, don't they? How long have you been in the joint, David?
I'm doing life, man.
When did you enter?
93. I've been in 13 years, man.
Yikes. 13 years.
Yeah.
And now this is, you didn't murder anyone.
No.
It's conspiracy and solicitation to commit murder.
Yes.
They say you wanted to have somebody snuffed out, right?
That's right.
What's your side of the story?
Oh, man, the guy had a bug in his ass. I mean, imagine that. I'm sitting there having a beer with the guy. I mean, who's ever known that he's going to have a bug on him?
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically it. I'm just sitting there drinking a beer with him, talking, and all of a sudden these FBI guys come in and they storm in, man. It was crazy. It was wild.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I remember when I had to spend life in prison for a crime. I didn't commit. Don't get me started. Well, yeah, again, your spirits are pretty good. So you never killed anyone, and yet you're doing life in prison.
That's right.
Because he says you tried to contract him to kill somebody.
Yes, and he happened to be a paid FBI informant. He's on the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you didn't have enough money to get good legal representation, or what's the deal?
Well, I had good representation. Shapiro Law Firm.
Really?
Yeah. But just happened to be the wrong time. O.J. just got arrested, and all the attention was on O.J., man.
Ron Shapiro was your attorney, or his people?
His people.
See. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've been housed with O.J. and Suge Knight?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. All throughout the time in the county jail and up through being in prison. Definitely.
Well, it looks good on your resume. And did you get to hang out with the Suge or the Juice?
Oh, yeah, man. Suge was doing good, man. He's living large in here. He's doing really good.
And what is the normal day for you consist of? How does that work?
Well, I'll put it this way, Adam. I wake up with morning wood every morning, man.
Sure.
And, you know, your mattress idea would do perfect in prison.
You're putting a hole in the mattress. Do you get the
recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. They started doing that ever since I bought all that real estate from that guy who was in the pen. Do you get the radio show? Obviously, you get the radio show in there?
Oh, definitely. Let me tell you, I do landscaping out here in the yard. I do all the landscaping. I mow the lawns.
I got to say, it's a beautiful prison, by the way. I'm just complimenting. My wife and I were driving past it the other day. I said, look at that. Fantastic. Manicured lawn. Beautiful hardscape and landscape, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes. Water features. It's lovely.
So anyway, I'll just give you an example. Like today, I'm out here digging holes, man. They got us digging holes out here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said they're looking for Jimmy Hoffa still.
Mm-hmm.
They got us out here, man.
Funniest prisoner, the funniest porn star, and the funniest hunter in a row on this show. So you're out there digging. You have a radio with you?
Yes, I got a Walkman. In fact, I'm listening to you right now. Yeah.
Oh.
I got a Walkman on here. I'm just hanging out and just listening to you, man. You get me through a hard time, believe me.
Thank you. So you get up, you eat now. How much recreation time do you get? Can you get a conjugal visit? Can you get married?
Man, you ain't going to believe this, man. They took away our conjugal visits.
No way. Well, you also created inmate.com to help meet the ladies, right?
That's right. I created that back in 96.
And now it's over with, though.
Well, I mean, we can still meet ladies, but no conjugal visits.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what's the point?
But in your 13 years, did you have a conjugal visit?
I've never had one at all. I've got all you guys beat. All of you guys.
Well,
I've been a virgin for 13 years.
I don't know about Big Tad or Mike August, the show. These guys are out and free men, and yet can't get laid. Sad. All right, so you want to call in and check in with us? Give us the news of what's going on in the prison and all that. I have many questions for you, David. We're sort of running behind, and I feel bad, but I'd like to check in with you, like, say, on Mondays. Tell us how it's going in the joint, you know?
Oh, no doubt about it, man. I'll be right here for sure. On my break time, I'll definitely take a break and come talk to you.
And maybe we could have some fun, like start a riot, like yell Crips or Pussies or something like that, just as loud as you can. We'll give you a T-shirt. Now, however it works.
Yeah. In fact, talking about Crips and Bloods, let me put this guy real quick on the phone. Hang on. His name's Jeff D.
What are the chances it's David doing a black voice?
No, it's me. It's Jeff D.
Hey, where are the white women at?
There ain't none here.
Oh, really?
No.
All right, what are you in for?
Murder.
Ah, fantabulous. Now, did you actually murder somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's got to be satisfying, at least.
I thought that was the cliche in the movies that no one ever admits their crime.
No, I mean, if you do it, you do it.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that maybe need to, you know, thin another herd, maybe.
Yeah, so you're just doing a service. And the person you killed, was it a bad person?
Well, business associates.
I see. What'd you do, mobile DJ? I don't know. Drugs?
Okay.
All right. Was that or mobile DJ? I just chose the wrong one.
It's from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Yeah.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there watching the sun go up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So you got me on the radio. Do you listen to me on the radio?
Yeah, I used to listen to your Love Line thing.
Ah. So I'm big in the joint. We got to get those guys Arbitron books.
No, what you got to do is you got to get some kind of service here to help us get out of here.
I'm going
to
show up there.
One.
Let's do a show like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Good luck point. With that. We'll bring the lady with you, too.
Oh, you'd like me to?
Or else just put on a dress up in here. You can might wear a dress on.
All right.
And Brusca. They're going to ravage him.
We need to move forward. I'm delighted with this. I've not begun to scratch the surface of this.
We need Just D to be a part of these calls every week, too.
Yes, as well as David Valdez. We'll check in with them next Monday. It's just we're almost out of time. But just enough time to shoehorn in the news with Teresa Strasser.
Nagin was elected to a second term this weekend. During a congratulatory call from President Bush, the mayor asked for help with debris removal, a big problem over there, and the acceleration of rebuilding in the wake of Hurricane Katrina.
I'm sure that was a heartfelt congratulatory call, too. How many people yelled at him that he had to pick up the phone and call the guy he hates who was talking smack about him 8 months ago?
It's awkward.
Yeah.
In entertainment,
he's a great mayor.
In entertainment news?
Yes.
On The Sopranos last night?
Let me just say this. Do we need mayors? Evidently, we don't. Evidently, we don't need any politicians,
or
so it seems.
Shame on you people, New Orleans! How could they reelect this?
Oh,
dude,
what do you mean he ran a tight ship? So all those people didn't have flashlights or cars or
it was God's
first aid
will.
Kits.
What happened was God's will.
Yeah, God's will. That's right.
I will say that the mayor has repeatedly predicted a boom in economic growth because reconstruction money will be pouring into the area.
Let me just say this. I'm not a religious man, and I don't believe Ray Nagin is either, but he's constantly thanking Jesus for every crappy handout, every scrap that Jesus tosses to him from his table. If your head man, if the guy's the mayor of your city, is a huge Jesus fan, and now your city is under 20 feet of water, maybe it's time to head another direction. Maybe it's time you go Jew.
Adam, let me ask you this. I got time for one more story because I can see Breska writing me the note right now.
Hmm.
I'm going to ask you. You want Sopranos? Do you want Mike Wallace or do you want J-Lo?
J-Lo.
Okay, getting right to J-Lo.
We didn't talk about her, did we?
Nope, we didn't talk about her. In Touch magazine, if you believe such magazines, reports mm-hmm. that she is 3 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence they're citing is a belly bulge and visible gray roots because, you know, you can't dye your hair if you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Bad for the baby. She, I don't know if that's true. It's in Touch magazine. She also has another project in the works. MTV has greenlit a show called Moves, which follows the lives of six aspiring dancers trying to make it.
Well, I've had a ass full of her, but not as big ass full as I've had of her hubby, Mark Anthony.
You're not a fan?
I have no idea. All I know is he sings the worst goddamn song on the planet. That crappy song is about 5 years old.
And I need
it looks
to know.
Like a wet Mexican sewer rat to me. Yes, oh. I need to know. It's a horrible song. He that song was horrible. And that whole, he's a Latin lover. Oh, a Latin crooner. Oh, Casanova. Have you seen the guy?
Skeletor.
Yes. Please.
He's a Skeletor
he's
the Pompadour.
A bug-eyed little Skeletor. Who has a horrible song. All I'm saying is if you sing and you're from south of the border, you're not a heartthrob necessarily. Not everyone. Ricky Martin is good looking.
Yeah.
He is not.
Iglesias, that kid,
good
when he
looking.
Got the mole removed, he looked fine.
Great looking, not Skeletor.
Okay, I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Fantastic. Now, not only is Breska giving me signs, 1 minute, it's got to be shot, Damashek. Then on top of it, Jack Silver now is out there doing the same thing. He's giving me hand signals. Tighten it up, Damashek. All right, quickly, I'll say this. Tonight, the Game 7 doubleheader. First, you got Mavericks in the Spurs. Then you got the Clippers at the Suns. Dynamite. And then Stanley Cup playoffs. I wish to report sad news. The poor Ducks. Lost again last night at home. Mm. Now the Edmonton Oilers are up. The one bright thing I can say is this. A number of people have contacted me about that via the message board. Over in Asia, there's a cyclone. Did you see what its name is?
No.
Cyclone Chanchu!
Chanchu!
Chanchu. Thank goodness for that pick-me-up that this cyclone came along during these dark Chi-Chu-less times. Someone upstairs cares about me.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Nice job, Dave.
Best work ever.
Yeah. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You are listening to one of the most brilliant raconteurs. One of the most great... Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You're listening to a man who slept with my wife. And yet, I enjoy his radio program, Adam Carolla. Hey, this is Phil Hendry. Have you ever eaten at this guy's restaurant? No, you haven't, have you? I have. He also does one hell of a radio show, Adam Carolla. Take four. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. This cat can bowl. Adam Carolla. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. Are we even getting close to anything here?
I think
are you serious? Oh, okay. Even the part with... okay.
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, this is Dave Coulier.
And Dave's Package, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Check it out.
Ernie?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
You're in prison?
Oh, no, I just escaped.
Oh, you just escaped?
Don't believe it. Hey, I just want to tell Derelict if he could say hi to Sleepy for me. He's up there. He's my nephew.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, but I escaped from LA County.
Hold on, we have a candidate for definitely not a Jew. Got a cousin named Sleepy in the joint.
Unlikely.
Ernie, yes?
Hey, I escaped from LA County, Jill.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you make the rope out of bed sheets?
No, nothing. It was easier than that.
Hmm.
Give me a price and I'll tell you how I did it.
All right, we'll give you a Hooters gift certificate, $50.
Okay, hey, just before you take a shower, they give you your booking number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if you get a 7 on your booking number, you get out of jail free. So I got a 7. And then 2 weeks later, they came to my house and got me, said I escaped from L.A. County Jail.
Seems like it's a flaw in the system, but I see. All right. All right, Ernie.
Okay.
All right there, buddy.
I didn't get it either.
I think what he's saying is well, who the hell knows?
No gift certificate.
We're going to have to. Bruska says no gift certificate.
You're going to do that to a hardened criminal? Brave, Bruska, brave.
All right, we need to take ourselves an extendo break. Tomorrow, Jamie Kennedy's coming on the show. Andy Dick, Dennis Leary. Wow, it's like a real radio show. We thank Frank Vincent, Ron Jeremy, and the Nuge, Ted Nugent, for coming on today. Supergroup, Boondock Saints, and the Sopranos are all the things they're working on. We'll take a quick break that's going to last just a short 20 hours. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.